Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Just won't quit, and Melissa's the one who has to deal with their sh. They're the LSD.
They don't do it for free.
While you're living your life, they're watching TV.
They're the LSD.
They do it for you.
They're always watching, and soon you'll be watching them too.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Brother 22 Stockwatch Roundtable. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and joining me today is Brent. How are you doing, Brent?
Not good, Taryn. I'm really not well. I have had it up to here with Big Brother 22 to the point where today I got out the veil.
Oh,
I'm
my.
Really not feeling these people today because it dawned on me today. Of all days, right before the round table, that no matter what happens with the HOH competition on Thursday, we are going to get a shitty result. Because the people that we like ostensibly in the audience, like, you know, Davon and Bailey and Pacer, they're not going to do what we want. None of them are going to do what we want. None of them are going to make a go at anything. They're all just going to try to either play with the power people or stay safe and coast along. We have nothing to look forward to. Big Brother 22 is ending before our eyes. I can already tell you the end of the story. I just don't know the winner. Anyway.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, also joining us today is Melissa. How you doing, Melissa?
Well, you know, Brent's making me depressed just thinking about it. I was trying to put it out of my mind and kind of trying to just be like, okay, look, like we kind of like aren't going to get a good result this week, but I was trying to just be like, that's fine. It's just frustrating because, and that's my catchphrase. I know I'm well aware.
That's okay. Yes.
You know, it's frustrating because it just feels like there's really no point in watching like the first half of the season. It's like, I want to see one, like we already know who's going to end up in like the final, like second half, essentially. Like we already know that the big alliance is going to be in the second half. Like all the outsiders are going to get picked off. And so I'm just waiting for like, when we finally get to see Danny and Tyler and Cody and Nicole turn on each other. Yeah. And until that point, we're not going to have anything fun or exciting because everyone, like basically the saying that's going around is like, well, the targets will appear. They will make targets of themselves. And then once that person appears as a target, there's no changing the minds of the group. It's like, okay, that person's target, good, easy. Let's just get that person out. I don't care if eventually that person could have done something to help my game. All I care about is like, it's not me right now and we'll figure out the rest later. And I feel like that's kind of the way everyone's been playing. And that's kind of like modern Big Brother is you kind of just like let the house, quote unquote, determine a target, whoever's like a sitting duck, whoever's easiest, and just like get that person out. And then eventually we'll turn inward and we'll just like let the chips fall where they may. And that's how we find our winner. And it's just so, it's so dull. It's like, after watching this week, that Twitter like meme or whatever that was going around that was like, oh, you know, old school Big Brother didn't do XYZ for Tyler to call them boring. It like really made me realize the difference between old school and new school Big Brother and how exciting Big Brother used to be and how boring it is now. Like, I hate to say it, but it's a different game. And the game is like, it seems fundamentally broken in some way. And we need to figure out a way to shake things up. And if old school players playing with new school players can't shake it up, then I don't really know what can.
Thank you. So. That has been so discouraging to me. Taryn, can we, like, there are many things to talk about tonight, but I do want to like start off with this and echo what Melissa said, in that I also believe that there is something wrong with Big Brother. What is happening to the show that we love? Mm-hmm. I mean, am I being overly dramatic, which I'm prone to do at times, or is there something really wrong with like the people they're casting? Why don't the people on the outside recognize that they're on the outside and try to do something about it? Why do they want to target themselves? That it didn't seem like that used to happen back in the day. The people, like, if somebody on the outside got an HOH, they'd be like, well, I know what I'm doing. Like, I'm gonna have some stuff up here. I'm gonna have some fun, and we get like some crazy nominations. But I don't even know the last time that happened. Maybe what, Big Brother 15? I don't know. Like, when Jed got nominated during the double eviction, I honestly couldn't tell you the last time something like that happened.
Well, I will tell you, I think that I think Rob hit the nail on the head the other day when he said that there are too many people on the cast, because I think that one of the main things we're looking at here at the start of Big Brother 22 is that this is just the beginning phase of the game. There are different phases of the game and like different portions of like when there's this many people left, these kinds of moves tend to happen. And when there's 16 people in the game tends to be a big glob of people, because mm-hmm. when you are an outsider, it's suicide to try and face up mm-hmm. against a big majority. You're tanking your own game to try and, nominate a two in a group of eight. It just doesn't work out very well for you. It can, if you have the guts to do it, but it definitely doesn't incentivize you to really gung ho go against them. It incentivizes you to be like, as long as I'm not one of the few that takes the hit here, then I can make it to the phase where I actually have more agency because there are fewer people left in the game. I think that's one of the biggest aspects of this. And I do expect that by the time we get to 12, which is how the game used to start, we will start to see big moves being made because you have more agency as an individual when there are 12 people left. So I think less so that the game is just like fundamentally broken, and more so that we've opened up a back end to the game that we don't normally see, which is a different phase of the game that we're not particularly fond of, because it just requires grouping up and huddling together until the portion of the game when you can actually start to play more in terms of that kind of gameplay, at the very least. Then there's also the other stuff I think that we've talked about a lot, the competitions, the casting, and just in general, the phrase that has kicked off all of this old school versus new school, the fact that new school gameplay has developed over the course of time, and it has gotten to a point where good players can really start to shut out bad players, which again sort of delays the fighting until the portion of the game when the competitions get more winnable, which is a problem, right? So mm-hmm. I think that what we're looking at is a portion of the game that a lot of the audience does find to be boring and not fun to watch, and encourages this like mob mentality sort of thing. There are some things that I am still enjoying watching this. Like, you know, when you guys say that like there's nothing worth watching right now, I am enjoying watching the little pieces move around that are setting themselves up for this future in the next
phase
of the game.
Because I find it to be a tough watch. I will admit that this was my toughest week of feeds in a long time. And the reason why was because all of the people that I have I watch the game with my heart. And I hope, I know a lot of people out there are like me, and they do watch the game with their heart. They don't just watch it as purely entertainment. They watch it because they feel something they empathize with the players that are in the game, and they have a vested interest in wanting them to do well. And when you see that the players who you have a vested interest in are not thinking correctly, or are not even in the ballpark of where they should be thinking, it's just like, well, I know that the people that I dislike, I know what they're doing, and the people that I like aren't doing the things that I need them to do. So what the hell am I watching for? That's what honestly where I'm at. Right
yeah,
now.
I mean, for me, I've written off half the cast. Like yeah. I'm yeah. watching the people that yeah. people don't like very much, and I'm yeah. watching them play. I'm watching them set up pieces for the game that will start in a couple of rounds. And that interests me as a person that watches for strategy, because it is strategic and they are playing this game. And it does suck on the human element. Like, I am such a big Kacer fan. I love watching every conversation between Kate Kacer and Janelle, but like the perspective that I'm trying to bring to it for myself, at the very least, is that I'm just grateful that I'm seeing Kacer and Janelle on my screens again. Like, the fact that I'm seeing them talk about how they met and like have these conversations and talk about reconnecting as friends. Like, yeah, the game didn't yeah. work out for them, but like, this is so cool that I'm getting to watch this. Mm-hmm. So that's the perspective that I'm trying to bring again for myself. I understand that not everyone appreciates that this like sort of minute strategy stuff as much as I do, but I do think there are some things that that we can take that have some value here.
I mean, I think there's good strategy going on. Like I said, I already feel like I know who's going to be here in the second half of the game. There are some people who are doing really well in terms of like positioning themselves and all that. The thing that gets to me is I feel like there's no reason, like we already know the results of the next few weeks. It's like, it just makes me feel like we're going to have these competitions where we're going to end up with like what, like a Memphis, a Cody, a Tyler, a Memphis, a Enzo, a Cody, a Tyler. And it's just going to keep going like that. Maybe a Christmas thrown in there. And then we're going to have picked off one by one. We're going to have, you know, like Kevin's going to go. We're going to get Bailey gone, Davon gone. We're going to Kacer and Janelle obviously gone. Probably Ian will be next, and then we'll have like that final group, and that's where we'll get to see people actually play. I mean, yes, there's playing, but it's like the week itself is what I like to see is people going around and campaigning and convincing people to like get them to stay. And it just feels like they're going to pick the person who is going to go. And like this week, they're really not listening to any of the campaigning, and it's like talking to a brick wall every time Kacer and Janelle go to talk to people. It's already like, yeah, our mind's made up because the group's mind's made up. So, you know, it doesn't really matter what you're saying to me right now.
And it's
now.
Not even just about this week, Melissa. It's not even about this week. I was listening to Bailey and Davon talk about David, and they were shading him, talking about, oh, well, he just wants to sit on his ass and make jury. That's all. He's just holding on for jury. He's not playing to win.
Mm-hmm.
And then 10 seconds later, they're like, well, if Kacer's still here next week and we win HOH, we'll have to put him up. I'm like, right. What are you doing?
You're like, why?
What are you doing?
Why? Why would you do that? Why would you put him up? Like, what? What? It's like, and that's also getting me like, it feels like there's no like coherent thought going on, because it's like one second they'll say something and you're like, yes, okay, they've got it. They're on it. And then the second later, they say the complete opposite and you're like, wait, where did all that thinking just go? Like, do any of you have like thoughts that are like making any sense right now? It's like, it's a struggle, because it's like the people who you're rooting for are always the people who are really bad and wrong. And it
yeah,
sucks.
That's the problem.
I know.
That, I mean, we
it's
talked about this
I
before.
Why can't I be rooting for Nicole?
It's the paradox of the underdog, that you always root for the person that's doing poorly because they're the underdog, and you root for the underdog. But because they're doing poorly and they're the underdog, you're going to be disappointed because
exactly.
they're not playing well.
Exactly. It's so tough. It's like, I am, after Kacer and Janelle go, I'm just going to have to, you know, root for, I'm just gonna like have Tyler be it, or Nicole F.
I'm honestly
like,
almost
that's
there.
Who I'm with. No, I feel like that. I
really
feel like
am.
I feel
yeah.
like I love Kacer and Janelle, and I'm watching Kacer and Janelle like because it's I like them and because it's fun, but not because I think that they have a chance of like doing anything, because clearly no one will even take in their mind that they should keep them around or even work with them or talk with them. Like, so clearly nobody cares about them. So they're gone. And so I just need to move on at this point and watch them for fun, because I like seeing them on the live feeds, but not root for them, I guess. It's
right. Totally. And I see the chat saying that Brent and Melissa are ranting and Taryn is a good listener. See, you guys don't understand the concept of time for me and Melissa. See, Taryn is on every day.
Yeah,
he gets to
yeah.
talk to you guys every day. We are on like last week.
Yeah, we're literally on, like, and then this is like our time, because when we're on the episode recaps, it's essentially like, okay, we're going to talk about the episode and like what's exactly going on screen. This is the one time where we get to just like spew out all our thoughts. So sorry that we're frustrated and we want to talk and all that.
This is one of my favorite parts of the week, is when I get to hear you two just like go off on all the bottled up thoughts and emotions that you've had over the course of the week.
Well, before we get into the state of the house or any of the alliances, I do want to say really quickly that I don't ask a lot, but I honestly echo my friend Kim Matina. I retweeted earlier today. I beg the Big Brother producers. You know what? You've thrown Pandora's boxes in before. You've done whatever you wanted to do if you thought it was pertinent to shake up the game. Because look, let's be honest. None of us like, for the most part, unless you're like, you know, Tyler's mom or something, none of us like the way the game's going right now. We want people of color to be included. We don't want like this majority alliance of people that is all white and listen to them talk shit about Kacer and David and Bailey and Davon. Like, it's not fun to listen to them just sit there and talk shit about them and knowing that they're going to get their way. So you know what? Just bring in a reset button. Like, for real. Just that way, you know, give us a vote on Wednesday night if we want to reset the game. Of course we will. Show them on Thursday the results and let us award a head of household. Gag all of them and say, see you later. Like, honestly, who cares, Taryn, at this point?
I don't care.
I would gag.
I want something to happen, whatever
it
may
be.
I don't want this normal week where we just like get a bunch of like Big Brother social media people like for the show going on there and being like, we love Kacer and Janelle. Isn't it great to see Kacer and Janelle together? And then yet like give all these competitions that are for like young guys only. And then like, just let them go out the door this second week or third week or whatever. It's like, no, you need to be cooking something up. I don't know. Like, I mean,
I really wish they
like
would.
There's no integrity to the game anyway. So we might
thank
as well
you.
Just like
what
just
are they
throw it in a twist.
Isn't
let's
what you're
just do it.
Isn't what you're asking for in a way Redemption Island? Like you just want Janelle to be handed a season, right? Like, that's what you're asking for, right? Like, that's
No, we never. I
just
don't
want
know
them
about
to
Melissa.
Get power, just like once.
We never thought that Janelle was going to win the season.
No
I
way.
Never.
Well, okay,
but what you're asking
for is Big Brother 19, where Paul gets some friendship bracelets and then they just hands off for the rest of the season.
If Janelle is the Paul of this season, I'm fine with that.
We wanted Janelle to have one moment. It does not sit right with me that Franzel is going to get her way on this one. It just does not sit. It all comes back to Franzel. It doesn't sit right with me that Franzel is going to get her way. And Danny, too. What the hell is she doing? She's going to get Janelle out of the house in week 3. It just doesn't sit well. I would just love to see all of their faces absolutely cracked on Thursday night if they found out that America decided to reset the game because we don't like the way it's going right now, and watch all of their faces just crack. I would
Plus,
live for
like,
it. Yes.
The way that Nicole and Danny and Christmas and all those guys are talking about Janelle is so performative. Like, they're like, wow, I can't believe Janelle would say that. The feeders wouldn't like it. They hate it. America would hate it. It's like, what is wrong with you? Like, I know what you're saying. Like, you're trying to like get on America's like good side by being like, we're the good guys, right, America? Like, look at the camera. It's like, no, like, you're clearly not. So like, don't perform to us. Like, just and Christmas with her, like, I wouldn't tolerate bullying. What?
Girl.
So
there's a lot of unfortunate behavior and things that happen in the Big Brother house all the time. I will say, to those of you that feel a similar way to Brent and Melissa, that you like, it's just like a constant stream of like, oh my God, this sucks. This is terrible. I will say to you that it's kind of like watching the news, where you hear all of the bad things all of the time when you're reading Twitter and like in the discussion threads, you're only ever hearing the worst possible stuff, usually taken out of context. And it makes it seem like things are a lot worse than they actually are, in my opinion. So like, maybe keep that in mind when it's all doom and gloom and everything sucks.
So let me test you here. Let me test you really quickly. Mm-hmm. Taryn, I ask you, as Rob would say, paint me the best scenario for the Twitter stans this season. So we're going to assume that Jindel's going to go out of the house on Thursday. From this point forward, paint me a believable scenario of what could feasibly happen in the game. Like, we don't have to get one of our stans to win, but we want to have a good time this year. So what could happen that you think is honestly feasible? And I'm going to take this off because it's too damn hot.
That's honestly, well, if I do want to say, just to clarify, I'm not saying that you can't also watch the feeds and feel like everything's the worst. That's totally possible. Just like, you know, you can watch things happening in your real life and be like, this all sucks. But the news makes it worse when you're only seeing the bad stuff is what I'm trying to say there.
Look, I mean, I'll just say, like, there are moments on the feeds that are great and fun and funny and like good to watch. I mean, Kacer and Janelle, whenever they're having their conversations, like Bailey and Janelle joking around, those are fun. And like, you know, when you've got, there's that one scene or whatever I retweeted where like Janelle comes in to, and everyone's saying Janelle's like out past curfew. And then she comes in, they're all laughing, you know, like those scenes are, and that involves like Cody and Enzo and everybody and Enzo's stories. Like there are some really good non gameplay related feeds. And it's great to watch all these old school players on the feeds. Cause I never really got to see them on the feeds when they played their first time around. So that's really fun. It's the gameplay that is making me upset just because no one is willing to like look outside of what they've already like decided. It just feels like everyone is so set already. And it feels like, why are you set? This, the game just started. Like this should be like fluid and there should be like, you know, room for listening to people and campaigning. And it just feels like there isn't any. Well, and then anytime you think there is something where it's like, oh, maybe she got through to him or like maybe he got through to her or whatever, then like literally the person that they're talking to will go to the next, go back to their alliance and just either spill everything and laugh about their campaigning or whatever, or like just say like, yeah, I'm not listening to them. It's like, so anytime you get a little lift, it's like you just immediately get torn back down.
Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of people like relate to that as well. It can be very frustrating. I'll say that like the thing that made me say this is like you saying that that like, oh, they're talking about how the feeders are going to love Janelle leaving, stuff like that. Like from my perspective, when I watch the feeds, they talk way more about Janelle being a fan favorite, about Janelle getting powers, about Janelle obviously going to win a fan vote. That happens way more often than the reverse, but anytime anything close to the reverse happens, that will be blasted on Twitter, on Reddit, everywhere for infinity. So that's kind of what I'm trying to get at there. Not saying with that the they news, don't yeah. say those things sometimes, yeah. And that it's not frustrating, but, If you are involved in this sort of like chamber of like repeating all of the worst possible things and getting angry about it, it will, I think, make you more angry than you were before.
Right. We will try not to get angry, but in order to do so, you have to paint me the picture. So,
okay.
A 1 minute picture of, you know, something that'll make me and Melissa happy.
All right. Well, this kind of goes into, I assume, what we will be talking about. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. Let me just run through the week real quick so we can sort of set the picture of where we are. Tyler won the HOH, of course. Enzo wins the safety. He ends up saving Christmas, which upsets Day. We saw this in the episode. And Enzo is still not shutting up about the fact that Day was upset about the fact that he saved Christmas. Enzo now talking about Christmas as though she's his parachute alliance. Tyler puts up Janelle and Kacer. They are on the block. Cody wins the veto. He does not use it. And that means one of Janelle or Kacer will go home. At the moment, it is looking pretty likely that Janelle is going to be the victim. Now, we had seen that in Cody's big group, that there was a particular shift last week, and that came when Devon tried to start testing some people. She told Danny that Tyler approached her about an alliance that she approached him about. And then she told told somebody else that Nicole approached her about an alliance that she approached Nicole about. She ends up getting caught, and they start to feel like, oh, Devon doesn't trust us. Then she gets involved in the vote flip to save David, to get rid of David. And things start to deteriorate from there. So now we know that Devon and Bailey are on the outs coming into this week. And there's talks about potentially targeting them as early as next week. However, they have reconvened in this group of the Slick Six in order to keep Bailey and Devon comfortable for now. And within this group, Bailey and Devon have decided that they want to buddy up with Tyler. Bailey and Tyler in particular have now made a final two that they haven't named yet. And Bailey, Tyler, and Devon as a trio are kind of moving in that direction. So if I'm going to paint a picture of what I'm excited about for the future, it's not crazy likely, in my opinion, but I could absolutely see a scenario where Janelle goes home this week, Kacer wins the HOH next week, and Tyler uses the opportunity to take a shot at Danny early via Kacer, either through Christmas influencing Kacer or himself influencing Kacer. I don't think that's particularly likely, but if that happened, it could easily set off a chain of events that cracks the game wide open. I think more likely he uses it to take out somebody like Ian.
Is the only good scenario if Kacer wins HOH miraculously,
most ideal picture Melissa.
But what might actually happen, which is like, we can't just rely on a Kacer HOH, which is what we want anyway. Obviously, if Kacer wins HOH, we'll be happy. But it's like,
well, not necessarily. Pull a Fessy.
Yeah, but like, I mean, what happens if Kacer doesn't win HOH? Is there any scenario moving forward where it's not just, okay, next week we target Kacer, next week we target Devon, next week we target Bailey, next week we target Ian, next week we target David, next week we target Kevin, and then everyone,
That's definitely not happening, I'll tell you that. That is, I will put money on it. That is not, all of those people are not going back to back to back to back.
Why?
Because they're going to, the amount of talk they are having about targeting each other is extreme. There's no way maybe Tyler lets it happen, but even if Tyler let it happen, Tyler would probably be the one that ended up going earlier than that. I think that something is going to happen in the next, I think you just named like five people. It is not going to go down like that, in my opinion.
I hope you're right. I don't know. It's hard for me at this point. I know I'm being like bleak, but it's hard for me at this point to like see any other thing happen.
Well, the reason why we're bleak is because we're looking at, you know, the other possibilities. We're like, okay, well, Devon, no, she'd put up Kacer.
Right, Bailey, exactly.
No, she'd have put up Kacer. Kevin apparently hates Kacer.
Yeah.
What can we do to change the course of events here?
Next week is already dead to us if Kacer doesn't win HOH, it seems. Just because, like, everyone else seems to be like, well, I guess we just put up Kacer. Easy, easy peasy week. Let's, like, go, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, like I said, I feel like that is unfortunately kind of the nature of this early portion of the game. The only time we ever really get drama in a 16 person cast early is when you have a player like Vanessa on the outside, who is like really just like gung ho about breaking up this big group because she's not willing to sit back and be picked off. So like miracle casting essentially. Or if you just have like a bunch of drama happen because you have, you know, bad people on your cast, like in Big Brother 21, right? Most of the time you're going to see some early game big votes. And I will say that is kind of par for the course for all of Big Brother. In fact, I saw a post recently on Reddit that went through the first 3 weeks of every season of Big Brother, and there is no significant difference whatsoever in the vote totals. The house votes together in the first 3 weeks of the game consistently from the very beginning of Big Brother until now. Nothing has significantly changed in any of that time. It's just that we tend to remember the highlights, I think, in the past. And the game gets started a little bit quicker when there are fewer people. So that's my view on it, at least.
That's true. Also, after Janelle goes, and then presumably if Kacer goes the next week, then that'll be four people out of the house. So there'll be 12 people left. And that's about the point in time where you would think on a, you know, quote unquote old school season of Big Brother that people would start playing a little bit harder. So, right before jury, you're determining who you want to be in jury, who you don't want to be in jury. So I don't know. I we'll see. Maybe hopefully somebody makes a mistake. Hopefully somebody decides to take a shot early. Just it's a little bleak right now. That's all.
Mm-hmm. People are mentioning Big Brother 20, which is like great exception to the rule of the house usually votes early, but that is actually obviously a recent season. A good example for recent seasons being good, at least. So this is what we have. This is what we have. There is this big group. They are operating well, and their current target is Janelle. They want to target Kacer next week, most of them at least. I wouldn't even say most of them, I would say some of them. Danny in particular. Cody has gone back and forth, but he's on board. There are a few other ones that aren't as much on board. Enzo, I don't think he cares all that much. Christmas actually wants to go after Devon. Nicole and Ian both want to go after Bailey. There are a few different options in terms of who might actually be targeted next week. Not anybody really in the main power structure other than maybe Nicole. But this is what we're looking at in terms of the coming weeks.
So who are the people? I just want to, it was Kacer and Devon and Bailey. Is that basically what the targets were?
Kacer, Devon, and Bailey, I would imagine, are the three most likely. Kevin, I think, is possible.
Oh, Kevin as well. It's amazing that all Ian, the people of color happen to be the targets.
That's yes.
Who would have thought on Big Brother that we happen to have three or four targets and they all happen to be people of color?
Wow. Yes. Although I would say Ian and Nicole are also likely block buddies with Ian probably being the one that goes home. Although you
That's
never know with Nicole.
An impotent set of nominations. Whoever ends up making the Ian, Nicole, Franzel nominations, I don't know you because
Ian's going.
They don't know the result of that. They think that they'll be able to get Franzel out of the house. But we know that's not.
Mm-hmm. You have to put Nicole and Danny on the block.
Mm.
Danny, Danny hasn't been talked about by a lot of people other than Tyler. And Danny also hasn't been talked a lot about with the show. Like, she doesn't get a lot of airtime on the episodes.
Actually, recently, and this is why I feel like Kacer might actually take that shot. Kacer was mentioning Danny to Christmas. Christmas has been talking about Danny. Yes. Tyler's talking about Danny. Bailey and Devon are talking about Danny, although they are too loyal to the group to actually take a shot, in my opinion. But they are talking about her. And I think that if Kacer wanted to take a shot, they would not stand in the way.
It could be a situation where they throw the HOH to Kacer, like, so that way Kacer can take that shot and they can be like, we didn't have any part in it. I don't know if that'll happen, but
like I said, like, I think there's a feasible I think there's a reasonable outcome where it's Kacer's H. Now, I say reasonable. I don't think Kacer's winning this HOH because I think they're building a wall, and Kacer's not winning a wall. But in a crazy world where Kacer's able to win an endurance world competition, I do think that Kacer he'd want to put up somebody like Nicole, and I could see, you know, Tyler via Christmas getting in Kacer's ear about putting up Danny next to her, and Bailey and Devon helping assist that as well by saying, look, this is how we get out Nicole. She won't go home if you put up Ian next to her, because maybe Tyler tells them that. But if Danny goes up next to her or something like that, then you can take her out. And Kacer has no obligation to not put up Danny, and Bailey and Devon can be like, ah, we're sorry. We did the best we could. We got Nicole on the block. So at least it's not two of us. Right, guys.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. I think couldn't Day or Bailey win a wall?
They don't really want to win though, do they? Because they were talking about, like, if we win, we're going to have to do that, and we don't want to do that. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they've gone back and forth. They this is a situation where Bailey and Devon have talked about, they just earlier today, they said, if we win, we'd have to go after Kacer, and that would suck.
Which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. There are other people in the house that aren't in your alliance that you could, like, go after that wouldn't be someone that you're actively working with and who wants to work with you.
The problem is that one of the problems is that Devon in particular, I don't know, both of them really, they take the alliances way too seriously. They don't look at alliances as like a stepping stool. They look at alliances as the thing. We talked about it a few days ago that relationships ultimately are going to be more valuable than alliances. But Bailey and Devon, Devon in particular, looks at it differently. Devon looks at it like alliances are a bond. Alliances are like a contract that we are signing. This is worth more than a relationship, because Devon is the kind of person that goes into the game like, leave your emotions at the door, a game above friendship. Like that's the kind of game that she plays, which is great, but I think she takes it too far, and she takes these deals more seriously than she does relationships. Bailey, on the other hand, I think is somebody that cares more about relationships than alliances, but wants to mix the two as much as possible. That when she is in with somebody in an alliance, in a relationship, whatever, like, she is in with them, and she is loyal to them. And if they stab her in the back or they wrong her in any way, then she will be very upset about it. I think that they are, the problem is that because they both commit so much, they have had one foot in and one foot out for so long, and ironically have ended up straddling this line because they've been worried about fully committing. And now that they are fully committed, they took way too long, and they're like, sorry, we're not letting you in anymore. So that's kind of the position that they're in. But I don't know that they're going to stay there. I don't know if Devon cares so much about not being played that she, I think, is going to continue to question them and continue to feel like, I don't know if I like this. And I do think that either that gets her sent home or it gets her to eventually do something.
Yeah. I had like really high hopes for Devon coming into this season, but as I have continued to watch her over the past 3 weeks, it has just become clear to me, she's just not a very good Big Brother player. She's just not. She's a great competitor. I love watching her on my television. She gives me life when I'm listening to her. But my God, it is frustrating to watch her play the Big Brother game because she's not a good liar. And she's also not good at hiding her feelings. Like, she's a little like me. She wears her heart on her sleeve and she has an inability to hide it. And sometimes you have to hide it in the Big Brother game. You just do. You can't let people know that you are distrusting of them. You can't let people know that you think they're up to no good, because if they think that they're up to no good, then they're going to be thinking that you're plotting against them and they're going to come for you. And that, like, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy for Devon at this point in terms of her positioning in the house, which a couple weeks ago was actually pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate. Now again, I am hopeful about this new connection to Tyler, because I think that Tyler recognizes his position in this group and that he needs other people. I think he probably is thinking it's probably too late to save Devon, but maybe I can save Bailey. I think that's probably his thought process right now. If Devon is able to survive next week and Kacer goes instead, he might have some time to work something up. But I don't know if it's going to be enough for Devon. Speaking of bad gameplay, we've been watching David in the house this week, and he has had some interesting encounters with some of the other players, Janelle and Kacer in particular. Melissa, once upon a time, you gave David a 7 out of 10, thinking that he was a 7 out of 10 player. You have recently issued a statement apologizing for this take, and you know, we do all appreciate the apology, although it doesn't ever take away from what you did. Melissa, what are your thoughts now?
Look, all I can say is I was wrong and I'm sorry, and I think at this point we need to move forward and build on a new foundation of me being totally wrong about David. I am so ashamed. I'm embarrassed. I really felt like I had to issue that apology today. And, you know, I hope people understand that it really came from a true place. And look, my initial rating of him did come from a true place. The thing that gets to me the most about David is that at the end of his last season, he was like, I mean, when he was leaving, he was crying and saying like he wishes that he could have, you know, done something, like he really felt like he could have made a move in this game, like whatever, like done something big, et cetera, et cetera. Seemed like he really understood the gravity of him leaving so early and that he really wanted to play. So I just felt like, well, this guy didn't get a chance to play, number one. And number two, while he was in the house, he was able to really pick up on the various alliances and the relationships and like really what the house dynamics and what was going on in the house. So I thought this guy's smart and he wants to play and he wants to be there and he didn't get his shot. And that's what I felt like. Okay. And then now I know that he doesn't care about the game literally at all, because if he cared about the game, he would have done some research. Once he found out he was going to be on the show, he would have watched literally one season of Big Brother to prepare himself for All Stars. He would have known about Janelle. He would have known about Kacer. He would have known about all these various like things that happened in Big Brother history. It makes me so angry that he basically just took this chance that a lot of people, like a ton of people, thousands of people, hundreds, whatever, I don't know, would have like given anything to get this chance, and especially to get this chance to play on an all-star season. And he basically just like threw it in the garbage. He didn't care. He didn't do the research. He didn't even think, like, I mean, he had his phone at the point where people were finding out who else was in the house, like the rumors and stuff. He could have looked up any of them to see like what they did or even what their names are. And he didn't do that. And not only was he woefully underprepared, basically not prepared at all coming into the house, now that he's in the house, he's acting like he's some amazing strategic player and telling like Janelle and Kacer that they need to like build credit with him or something. And that he,
yeah, they're low credit.
Yeah. People are coming to him with like alliances and stuff. And he's just like, yeah, I don't really see the benefit of me working with you guys. So no, I'm not going to do that. It's like, are you an idiot? What are you doing? Like, why aren't you even taking, like Tyler even says, like, and Tyler's a great player. Tyler says, like, if you get an alliance like thrown into your lap, like you say, yes, you take it. You don't have to actually mean it, but you don't just like push your hand in their face. Like it is so bad to watch. It's so bad.
Listen,
He needs to go.
Melissa, look, if I were to give you some advice on podcasting.
But that's the thing. You could give me advice on podcasting. That'd be like if I turned to you and was like, Taryn, let me give you some advice on how to host morning updates. Because I was on a morning update once. This is what you need to be doing. Like, that is exactly what David is doing, essentially.
Look, I will say, too, you know, I don't remember if I talked about it, because I do remember wanting to give David the benefit of the doubt. But I definitely talked about it with some people, at the very least, that I was always a little skeptical of David's read on the house in his original season. That what I heard from him in the diary room was not what I saw from him in the house itself. And I think, tell me if I'm wrong here, I think the way that David speaks, I do believe he's a smart guy. I really do. I think that he is just very bad at communicating, and I think he's very bad at the game. But he can speak in a way, he's a very thoughtful guy, and he likes to speak with big words. And I think that what we saw from David in the diary room of Big Brother 21 is that he was saying something along the lines of, well, look, we've got some people in the house that, you know, there's things going on that I can see. And
and we all took it as like, yes, there is things going on. Oh, my God. Yeah. And really, he was just like making stuff up, like talking out of the side of his mouth. Like, he literally just was just like saying words.
Melissa, I think part of the problem is the fact that he believes us. Like, David believes Twitter that he's an excellent reader of the game.
We have done this. We created this.
It's us. Totally us. Yeah.
We really created. This is our Frankenstein.
He was like, this is the problem with David trying to communicate. I'm trying to do an impression of David and it keeps getting interrupted. And that's what happens when David tries to talk. Because he speaks so slowly. I can't even do an impersonation of him. Because it's not good enough podcasting.
We'll be quiet. Do David for the next.
Go ahead.
No, it was really a funnier point to make that than to actually do the thing. I think happened is that David spoke a lot of words in the diary room and threw out a lot of different scenarios and kind of spoke in an intelligent way, but, you know, in the way that he does. And they threw together a diary room of him sounding like a genius. And like I said, I never saw that in the house itself. I never saw him act on this information. I never saw him do anything that was particularly impressive. And I think that Big Brother production created this particular monster, and I think that we willingly ate it up because it was shown to us on the screen that we eat. So that's my personal theory. Like I said, I think, like, perfectly fine guy, but Big Brother player, no.
Right. He's an infuriating Big Brother player.
Nice guy, smart guy in real life, whatever. But Big Brother is not for him, and he doesn't care about it, so that's fine then. And I should have known that this was going to happen when, during his introduction for this season, he literally didn't tell us that he prepared for this at all. He just said he went hiking, which doesn't help him at all in the Big Brother house, and he said he, like, meditated or something. I don't know, but that's like, or
I'm
read a book.
I'm voting out that rock.
Like, it's like, that literally doesn't do anything to prepare you for Big Brother. Like, I was ready for him to be like, I didn't get my shot last time, so I've been like studying, I've been like doing the work, I've been talking with past Big Brother players, whatever he wants to say, and just like preparing himself for the game. And I didn't get any of that in the intro. And I thought maybe because the house guests did their intro packages themselves, like, maybe he just didn't really know what to say and was just like nervous or something, but he doesn't care.
And I will also say, for as good a guy I'm sure he is on the outside, I don't love his attitude, the way that he talks to Janelle.
His attitude
Kaser.
Sucks.
It is very unfortunate in the way that he talks to them. It's very reminiscent of Nicole Anthony, where it's like he feels like he's in the right, and that means that he has the right to speak to them in a way that is very dismissive and condescending. It's not
he's
great.
So condescending, for real. Let me just tell you that listening to David is like listening to my dad, okay? Because my dad speaks in a way where he'll have a thought, right? And then as he's saying the thought, he'll like, he's like in a car inside his brain, and then he'll like move to the left because he's got another thought in his brain, and then he'll move to the right, then he'll move to the left again. He has all these tangents that come up when he's talking, and at the end of it, it honestly just sounds like a bunch of word salad. I'm like, what did he even say there? A lot of it times it doesn't even make sense. And a lot of times, you're right, he talks so damn slow. Like, I could never do what he does. He talks so damn slow that, like, he can't even get his thoughts out because there's so much awkward silence that people want to fill the silence with their own thoughts and words because he's so awkward. Like, it's just an infuriating player to watch. I honestly think he is in the top five of the worst players I've ever seen on Big Brother. His emotional intelligence is totally vapid. There is nothing there, Taryn. He cannot connect with
it.
Anybody. He cannot connect with anybody on an emotional level. There is no way he can do that. And I really fear for him as far as like his, not necessarily his place in the game. I don't think anybody's necessarily coming after him because he's honestly too pathetic for them to come after at this point. But as far as him like actually winning the game,
there's no way.
Please show me the scenario where that
there's
happens.
No way. There's no possible way. No way. I mean, imagine him in jury questioning too. Like he would just like be super condescending and say like five words. Look, and
Melissa, the thing about jury votes is that if I make it there, you'll find
and
out.
And Julie's about... like, time's up. Time's up, David. All right. Next question.
What? Wait. All right. Another piece
He's
of
like, Julie, let me explain to you a thing or two about hosting shows.
Another piece of information that's kind of been going around has been that people found that that Danny way back in season 8 actually purchased the dress that Janelle wore in her original season at the finale, the actual dress. She purchased it from the auction and then wore it on the finale night of Big Brother 8. And that she was a big fan of Janelle. And basically what I'm trying to say here is that we talk about this all the time in a very sort of exaggerated way, but Danny is truly a Janelle stan, right?
Yeah.
Like in the truest sense of the word.
The truest sense of the word, yeah.
Where she literally bought the actual dress, wore it on finale night, now is here with Janelle, and she wants to become her, I think?
Yeah, she wants to become the new Janelle. Yeah.
Well, she had that interview or whatever where she said she wanted to be the number one like female Big
the
Brother
queen
player.
Of Big Brother. She wanted to be the new queen of Big Brother. Yeah.
That's not happening. Danny might win this season, but like, I mean, you can't, they're two different players. Like they're two different types of players. And Janelle is like Janelle,
right?
I just hit my mic. But Janelle is Janelle.
Yeah. Taryn, you, that's such a great analogy for real. Like the original Eminem, Stan song. I love that song, man. And to think about Danny as the original Stan, man, like that's such a good pull. I'm like, and I totally like, I'm like the lyrics to the song are like going through my head right now. I'm like, God, that's totally Danny. Like,
I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, there's no way that anybody could Janelle. I just feel like it's like it's not about like whether you're the best Big Brother player, like best female Big Brother player or something. Like it's like I don't even think Janelle is the best Big Brother female player. You know, it's like she's just Janelle. Like that's who she is. And like you can't, even if Danny like wins the season, kicks out Janelle, whatever, it's like they're just two different styles of gameplay and of everything. It's just there's nothing there to compare. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, let's run through the state of the house here. We've got a lot of alliances that have stayed the same, but a couple of new ones to talk about. We, of course, have the core four, Cody, Enzo, Franzel, Nicole, and Danny. We've got the Slick Six, Cody, Tyler, Enzo, Day, Bay, and Danny. This one is mostly fake, but for the purposes of Devon and Bailey, it's real. We've got the committee. Memphis, Christmas, Tyler, Cody, Danny, and Nicole. The commission, which is Memphis and Cody. The Carolinas, newly named alliance between Tyler and Christmas. Christmas being Tyler's new Casey. And he's even named the alliance based on their geography, like the one with Casey. So That's working out. We've got the Million Club, Ian and Nicole, Davon and Bailey. They don't really refer to their alliance by the name ever, but they originally called it Black Girl Magic. They are now kind of pushing David out. I used to include David under them and actually replacing him, I guess, with Tyler. So Tyler, kind of a new addition to that. We've got Cody and Enzo. They are the Root, but they also have Tyler as kind of a third, as a guy's thing. And then they kind of have David as a loose fourth. Enzo likes to call them Team Freeze. That was an early thing that happened as they were in the room and it was freezing. But that's barely a thing. The further out you get from Cody and Enzo, the weaker this tie is. And then, of course, you have Tyler and David, who, you know, I mean, Tyler's trying. And you have Nicole and Christmas, a new final two made just earlier today, that Christmas offered a final two to Nicole. And Nicole was like Jessica from last season. She was like, oh, I've been waiting for this moment. I invited you to my wedding. And I was this had taken any more days, then things would have been bad. So that's going on there. And there's another new alliance that's also called. That one's called Four Prime, and that is Ian, Nicole, Cody, and Danny. And that is what Ian thinks, I guess, is running the house to sort of pacify him. So there you go. That's the state of the house.
I will say that I don't know. I was listening to a morning update maybe like 4 days ago, and at some point, the Slick Six was meeting, and you reminded us that Nicole Franzel is not in it, and she's not in an alliance with Enzo at any point. Like, there's no alliance that exists that has Franzel and Enzo.
Well, it's Christmas and Enzo aren't in it together. Nicole and Enzo are in the core four.
Yes, I know that, but that has the people that I was talking about in this specific feedback, or in this specific morning update is what I was trying to get to. The point being that there are so many configurations of these specific alliances that it's almost head turning. I honestly can't keep track of them all.
No.
I had to literally look up who was in the core four, four prime. Damn it, I always said call it core four. Four prime. They always had too many damn four names. I'm so frustrated. It's not real. And the only person who thinks it's real is Ian. And it's a facade. And again, I don't even know what's going on with him.
It feels like all of these are like so pointless because they're all just like overlapping things. I mean, if I was in the house, there's no way I'd be able to keep track of all these. I feel like, especially for like Tyler and Cody, and like, they're just like, it's like one after the other. Like, I mean, how do they know which alliance are they talking to at each point in time? Just because like each alliance is literally the same except for one person swapped out. Who's in the most?
I think it's Cody, right?
It would be Cody, yeah.
Yeah.
Cody followed by Enzo would be my guess. And then Danny.
The thing about Enzo is even the alliances that he's not in, the people that are in those alliances are like, but I like Enzo. Mm-hmm. Like, Enzo's great. You know what I mean? Like, there's nobody coming for him. Nobody.
In so many of the alliances, it's like, it's basically like Cody, Nicole, Danny. Like just being moved around.
It's the core four is truly the core four. That like Enzo and Nicole are left out of respectively the commission and the Slick Six. But they're like it's the core four that are the core of the house.
Yeah.
So that's what you got. And so keep an eye on the core four. And that's why like Tyler truly is on the outside of that. And that's why he does need some numbers. And
I feel like he's making a mistake this week in getting rid of Janelle. Mm-hmm. I do really feel like if there was a way that he could have constructed some other drama between some other house guests and found a way to keep Janelle and Kacer in the house as bigger targets, because I do feel like he's losing somebody from more his side of the house, somewhere in the house where he could work with them. I feel like here's the thing, if push comes to shove, I feel like Janelle and Kacer, if they were left in the house this week, would be more loyal to Bailey and thus Tyler than they would be to, like, Franzel and Danny. So that would be something that would protect Tyler. As it stands, Janelle's probably going to go home, and Tyler is looking a little bit more vulnerable than I thought he was, even at this early stage.
Are you saying that the best player in the house, who everyone sees as a big target but wants to work with him anyway, is being forced into a situation where he needs to take out Janelle, and he's going to do it anyway, but probably get through and maybe make it to the end?
Maybe.
Are we watching Big Brother 14?
I mean, like as long as we get the right results, because Big Brother 14 didn't make me satisfied at the end. Like, you know, and there were some other extraneous things I know happening there. So maybe if that happened at the end of this, look, I know people don't believe it when I say this, but it is really true. There are so many annoying people this season on Big Brother that if Tyler got to the end and he won, it wouldn't be a bad result. It really wouldn't. Yeah. I'd be happy for him because he played a winning game in Big Brother 20. He really should have won that. And, you know, I don't connect with him on a personal level, but I don't despise him at all. I don't have no animosity for me to him, especially as far as appreciating his game. He plays a phenomenal game, and I've given him credit many, 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 many times. More times than I would like to, actually. But, you know, he's that good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I see another out for Tyler this week, winning HOH, Janelle being so close, knowing that he was in a lot of danger if Janelle or Kacer won. Like, even just from his perspective, like, how can he trust Janelle and Kacer to not start doing this again? Because he is telling the truth that he did try to work with them at the start, and then they just kind of turned around out of nowhere and started throwing his name out. So from his perspective, he just, like, why
take that
gamble?
But they were true, though. Like, the thing that Tyler, if I were Tyler, I would recognize is, yeah, they were throwing my name out, but I am doing those things. Like,
But yeah. He really wasn't at the time. Like, I mean, we talked about it a lot, that he was really just sitting on his hands and not doing anything. He had a couple of conversations with Cody, but he also had a couple of conversations with Kacer and with Janelle. And, you know, they were all pretty similar conversations of, like, hey, let's work together. Let's make this thing happen.
In some ways, I talked about the self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, I feel like in some ways it happened with Tyler, too, where, like, we saw him and Cody have, you know, when the feeds come on, Cody's the new HOH. We see them walk into the storage room. We see them bro up. Kacer comes in right after. And we're like, oh, my God, here we go. This is Tyler's game plan. He's got it. He's got it all figured out. He's going to buddy up to the HOH and be slick as a willy. If that's is that a phrase? I don't know. Whatever. He's going to be slick. You know, he's going to be safe again. And of course he was. I thought for sure that if Tyler came back, that people would see him as a big threat. But, at the beginning of the season, no one surely didn't see him as a big threat. And it's taken, like, a couple of amazing comp wins / performances to remind people how good he truly is.
Mm-hmm. Now, the thing to remember about Tyler in the first week, right, is that he wanted to work with Kacer and Janelle, but at that time, it wasn't Cody versus Kacer and Janelle, and Tyler didn't, or at least it wasn't publicly Cody versus Kacer and Janelle, and Tyler didn't know that Cody actually had wanted to put Kacer up on the block.
I always forget that. That always eludes me. I thought for sure that when Tyler used the restroom on night one after the HOH competition, and Cody was HOH in the HOH room, and he came out and they talked about how, like, there was definitely animosity toward Kacer. Like, I couldn't believe Kacer came in and he heard that, man, like, you know, he heard us, like, talking about what we were going to do. Like, obviously, like, that would indicate to me that Kacer's definitely on the outs of whatever you're currently feeling, and I felt like Tyler knew that Kacer was definitely going to see the block.
Because somebody mentioned that conversation. I went back to it to watch it because I was like, oh, I do kind of remember something like that. It was a 2-minute conversation, and the only mention of Kacer was, man, I hope he didn't catch us. That was it. Like, and then Cody talked about the people he was worried about were people like Christmas, and some others that weren't Kacer. And then the following day after the safety competition, Cody said, I don't know why Kacer played. I thought we had a great conversation. Like, he was totally fine. And he essentially lied to Tyler and pretended that Kacer wasn't there. So what Tyler wanted to do in that first week was, he was like, okay, Cody wants to work with me. Fine. Great. He's HOH. I want to work with Kacer and Janelle. I want to try and get Kacer pulled in with Cody. And that's what he tried to do. He tried to be like, okay, Kacer, you played in that safety comp. I don't think you needed to, but here's what we should say to Cody to make it seem like you didn't do it because you didn't trust him. He goes up there. Yeah, he vouches for Kacer with Cody. And you know, from there, things just start to deteriorate because at that point, Kacer had already said that he doesn't trust Tyler and that he thinks that Tyler's working with Cody. He said that day two. After Tyler had two conversations with Cody. And so it, from Tyler's perspective, you can see why he would be hesitant to go in this direction. And I think even if he did, I still don't know how he pulls it off that, that like Cody and Danny and all of these people don't go, whoa, why are you not going after, they've been saying your name. Like you obviously just made a deal with them. In addition to that, I think that Bailey coming to Tyler is happening because she's losing Janelle. And if she isn't losing Janelle, I don't know if she has as much incentive to that's go to Tyler point. Or be loyal to Tyler.
Yeah.
Ugh, why couldn't it be Kacer and Janelle and Bailey and Davon and Tyler, and Tyler brings David because David's obsessed with Tyler, and you have that whole group going against the other group. Like,
How splits aren't cool, Melissa. That's so old school.
We love how it splits.
Yes. All right. So that's where we are. Are we ready for the stock watch?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
Let's get going with the stock watch. Here we go. Here we go. All right. Let's start this time, I guess, with Tyler. Let's do Tyler. I'm gonna quickly reorganize my stats over here. Do Tyler, and we will start with you, Melissa.
Oh, I don't want to start this one. I don't. Can we start with the audience?
No, that's what I'm doing right now, Brent.
Oh, sorry. I'll start. Okay, so I gave Tyler a 7. I considered giving him a higher score, I must say. I considered giving him an 8. I even considered giving him a 9. Like, I really was a fan of the way that Tyler played this week. I think he played about as well as he could play. The problem is, I feel like he almost played it too well. Like, he showed his comp ability a little bit too much, and I don't really feel like there was a reason for him to do that. Like, honestly, who the hell cares about the veto? You know, whoever wins the veto, the other person's going to go home. If Kacer wins the veto, Janelle's going home. Janelle wins the veto, Kacer's going home. Who the hell cares? You really don't care. You don't want to show people that you're a comp threat. You know, even though he did throw the eventual veto to Cody, I still think that he damaged himself in the eyes of a few people by really scaring the F out of them by like how good he was. And the fact that multiple people, even people both within the alliance and outside the alliance, like Danny and Kevin, both who are in within and without the alliance, are saying his name as somebody who that they can't take to the end, that he's too good, we're going to have to get rid of him. He's socially amazing. We all enjoy his company. He's a sweet guy. He's good at communicating with people. Keeps people around him that he trusts. Like all of that wanted, like it just made me feel good about Tyler, but he's so exposed, I do feel like. Like, if he... This is my worry with Tyler. So, Janelle's going to go home this week, right? I don't know what Kacer's going to do. Kacer may work with Tyler. He may try. He may not. I don't know. But I feel like there is a momentum for Davon and Bailey to go on the block on week 4. And if that happens, that is not good for Tyler. I do think that he'll probably get his preference of the two of those, and that Davon would probably go home and Bailey would probably stay. But that's still not good for him. I feel like he's going to be losing agency, and he can't play for HOH next week anyway. So overall, I couldn't give him anything higher than a 7.
All right, Melissa.
This is like a hard week for me, just because I feel like from my perspective, not that much has changed in terms of like, I don't feel like Janelle going home or Kacer going home really like shuffles things up or like, you know, exposes people more than others necessarily. It kind of just feels like, okay, someone on the outside is leaving and everyone else is kind of just stationary. Like maybe they're building like small little alliances or whatever, but who knows what's real. And we won't know until like next week, or maybe we won't even know next week just because probably the remaining player of Kacer and Janelle will go home. So it's tough for me to like rate people, because I feel like all I want to do is just like repeat most of the ratings from last week, and I'm trying to determine if I want to change them. But I don't think Tyler's doing a great move for himself this week. I think that like overall, if that is the move he's going to make, which is to get rid of Kacer or Janelle, like he played it fine because whoever's remaining will probably want to work with him. But I do feel like he's kicking someone out that, and then yes. And this is why I'm struggling with the numbers, because what you were saying earlier, Taryn, right before this about how Tyler was, you know, like this is Tyler's perspective. It makes me kind of change my mind a little bit, just because like, I can see that. I can see why he's like, these guys don't want to work with me. Like, I don't trust them. But in reality, I'm like, Tyler, like you're kicking out people who would want to work with you. And so I'm starting to understand his move more there, but it's like, I still don't think it's great for him, because I think having Janelle in the house, like he's a big threat. Tyler's a huge threat, and he's kicking Janelle out of the house when she could be a shield for him. And it's like, I mean, there's a clip going around from Big Brother All Stars, and it's like basically where Mike Boogie and Will are like, we're not working with Janelle, but we have to keep Janelle in the house, because when with Janelle in the house, she is a shield for Chilltown. And it's like, that's what you would think Tyler should do, or at least that's what I would think Tyler should be doing, and he's not. And so that's why I'm like teetering on the edge of like a 7 or 8. So I'm going to give him a 7 and just keep my rating the same.
Okay. I am going to go with the 8. I think that he's playing very well considering his circumstances. I think that coming into this game, and people might disagree with me on this, but I've been pretty consistent from the start that I do think coming in losing Casey was a big blow to his game and really put him in a spot where he was always going to have to climb his way up. And I think we're seeing that right now, that he is in a group of people where he is not in control in the way that he was in Big Brother 20. And Tyler doesn't like that, because Tyler likes to have all of his pieces on the board, and his pieces are not on the board. They're sitting off on the side. The board, the core four, does not involve Tyler. It involves Cody. Cody is in the Tyler spot right now, and Tyler will have to do something to replace Cody at some point if he wants to have that dominating position. And he is in this position where he does need to take out Janelle against what he wants to do. And he even recognizes, like, this sucks for me, but I don't have another option. I had to win this because they were going to put me on the block, and they were. And now that I have won this, I need to take out Janelle because that's the position I'm in. I blow up my entire game if I don't do this. So he's in the spot where he needs to make some other moves. And without this Bailey and Devon thing, I would have given him a 7, because I do think that his position is deteriorating. And I talk about this a lot on the Stockwatch, and I talked about it with JC a lot, that like JC was like in a great spot, but he wasn't end game material. Like, he wasn't in a great spot to win. And every week that went by that JC didn't make a move, didn't change things up, his rating started to deteriorate and decrease because he's going to run out of runway. Tyler is on that same trajectory. Tyler needs to do something to shake up the game and shake Cody out of his position if he wants to eventually do well and win this game. He's got some time, but he doesn't have a ton of time, because he's got people like Danny breathing down his throat, breathing down the back of his neck. I don't know what the thing is.
breathing right down his throat.
Ah,
they're kissing.
On top of that, as Brent mentioned, he did really increase his threat level this week. And a lot of people are looking at him the way they should be, which is, this guy is socially incredible, physically amazing. He's great at competitions. And Danny has even pointed out there's no way he's going to win. He's going to lose a jury vote. If he gets to the end, an all-star jury is going to reward him with the win, especially after what happened to him last time when he didn't win it. It's like if Danielle Reyes had gotten to the end of Big Brother All-Stars, the original. Like, there's no way she's going to lose that game. So people recognize that. So Tyler, he's a great player. I really do feel like he's the best player in that house, but he's not on a trajectory to win right now. But he has a lot of pieces on the board that can help him get to that trajectory. He just needs to do something about it. So for now, it's an 8. But every week that goes by that something doesn't shake up, it's going to go down, or it's going to slowly go down. It's not like it's going to go down to a 7 and then a 6 right away. But he will start to run out of room here. So the audience is with me on this one. They gave Tyler an 8, which means that Tyler will remain at an 8 overall. Let's talk about Nicole. Melissa, how do you feel about Nicole?
I feel like Nicole's in a similar position as she was last week. I think that, I mean, if anything, she's doing a lot better just because Janelle, if Janelle leaves, just because Janelle is her like number one adversary in this game. And so that's really great for her that she's getting Janelle out without even having to do any work. She's basically getting Tyler to do it for her. And so I think that's really impressive. I do think that, like, I mean, plus she's gaining sympathy from people, and I think people are, you know, feeling like she's weak and sad, and like they want to take her further just because they're not seeing her as like Nicole the winner. They're seeing her as like Nicole, we need to protect her from Janelle or whatever. So, you know, I do think she's doing pretty well. Do I think she's doing well enough to have an 8? Maybe. Yeah. I'm going to give her an 8.
There you go.
All right.
Brent.
I am going to award her a 7. I gave her a 7 last week, and I'm going to give her another 7 this week. I think that she did some positive things this week. Obviously, the thing that happened earlier today with Christmas was awesome. She is having, from all outside appearances, it feels as though she's having an easy time of it. And I was really, really glad to see she actually admitted that on the feeds earlier today, where she was just like, I don't really feel like I'm, like, she didn't say it like this, but she was basically like, I ain't even trying that hard this time. Like, I feel like I'm playing with my friends, which she actually did say. And she was like, I think I'm Ian's number one. I'm Cody's number one. I'm Christmas's number one. And I'm Danny's number one. And I think she has all of those right, except for Christmas. But she's probably Christmas's number two at this point. She's not Christmas's number one. So she's like, got 4 people in the house that she's like 1, 1, 1, and 2 with. That's a pretty fantastic spot to be in. I continue to underestimate, or maybe not, maybe I correctly estimate her ability to win a jury vote. Please show me how she's going to get to the end and win again.
I think she saw Christmas and money signs appeared in her eyes.
All right, I don't know. Christmas is, but a personal gal. Yeah, I don't think she's a pushover. I like what I see from Nicole. I loved her talking to herself. She wasn't really talking to the camera. She was more talking to herself. But she did it in a really coherent, like, manner that you can understand. And I really liked that. Really liked that. I know she can't hear me, but Nicole, please do that. I love that. So I gave her a 7.
All right. I'm actually with you on this one, Brent. I gave her a 7 as well. Last week, I gave her an 8. But I do feel like this week, her position has gone a little bit down. Bailey and Devon both have her on their radar because she's not included in the Slick 6, which is not great for her. They were originally talking about putting her and Ian on the block. And while I do think that she would be safe from those nominations, losing Ian would be a big blow to her game. And Kacer still might do that if he wins next week, and that would not be great for her. On top of that, her influence with this group at large has diminished, in part because she's not part of the Slick 6, but also because the people that she wants out that are targeting her are not the same people that the rest of the group wants out. She can't even convince Christmas to switch her target from Devon to Bailey. And you can tell that when she's talking with Danny and Cody, that they don't value her opinion as much. So when she's saying that she thinks that Bailey is more dangerous, they say, nah, it's Devon. And that's not great for her. And when she talks about how, like, Christmas is cool, they're like, eh, she's fine. So her influence with this group is not great. Now, that said, I think she is a very capable player, one of the best in the house, and I think that she is very good at getting her way. For instance, Janelle is leaving this week. That's huge for Nicole. She also almost got Cody to say, screw it, I'm putting up Bailey next week, with just a small little like, hey, Bailey said your name, Cody. And if that's the kind of thing that she continues to intends to continue, then we could easily see Bailey going home next week because Nicole gets in somebody's ear about it. So never count Nicole out. But I do think that she's kind of, you know, got her back to a wall at some point. So it's a 7 from me. The audience still not quite there. They're at a 6 still overall. So they're not feeling wonderful about Nicole. They've, I believe, maintained a 6 all the way through so far. But I do think it's a little bit improved from where it started. Let's talk about Memphis.
Wait, talk about somebody who like was the talk of the town, as Bryce would say, last week. And this week, like, who he? Like, is he even in the house this week? Like, nobody even talks about Memphis for the most part, unless they're talking about trying to get rid of him. I like Memphis this week because he did something I didn't think was really possible for him. He was HOH and kind of a hard ass HOH to boot. And then like he kind of went back into the background. Mm-hmm. Like, in, you know, it's not really, doesn't really feel like he has to have a big say. Like he can sit there and eat like a meal with somebody and not say a word. Like I feel like that Memphis overall is much to my chagrin, sort of like forcing his way of playing Big Brother into the house. It's like a square peg in a round hole, but somehow he's making it work right now. I don't think he's on the inner inside of anything, but I think that he is a viable tag along for a lot of people. He seems like a trustworthy guy. And unless he gets a little unlucky, which is kind of what happened to Nicole Anthony, ironically, with Memphis's HOH, unless Memphis gets a little unlucky and the wrong person gets HOH and goes after him like David or somebody else, I think Memphis is here for a while, and I could definitely see him getting to the end and possibly winning the game. So I gave him a 6. I gave him a 5 last week. I gave him a 6 this week.
I'm with you on that. I also gave him a 6. I gave him a 6 last week as well. I feel like you know, he's continuing like these maverick ways, but he should be set for a while in this game, and Memphis doesn't plan on turning it on in the game until, you know, halfway through, which he's told everyone, and they've all just kind of accepted it. And they're all just like, all right, we're going to leave him until halfway through or so.
We're going to leave him in his robe and just, you know, his scarf.
Now, because of this, it's hard to feel better than a 6 about Memphis because there are other people in the game that are so much like better positioned in the game to go far. And I don't know how he will do when he does turn it on, when he does need to start doing things. But he's also very good at competitions. And if he makes it halfway through and the competitions are as physical as they have been, then I could see him winning a few of them and getting some power and making a deep run at the game. And, you know, for as much as we say, yeah, he's not like the most, you know, smooth talking guy. He's a little blunt. I don't think he's drawing dead with a jury vote.
I don't either.
People,
the chat does. A lot of people in chat do, but I do not.
People enjoy him in the house when he's not HOH.
He's an adult.
Yeah. And if he wins a lot of competitions, do not underestimate the power of winning a lot of competitions. It's very big. It does wonders for your image. So watch out for that.
Yeah, Melissa? By the way, before Melissa gets her score, I did notice that the official chart from last week says that I gave Memphis a 6. I have it on my paper as a 5, so I don't know what I'm guessing what I see on the screen is correct, and I actually did give him a 6. But nevertheless, I'm going to stick with my 6 this week. I don't feel like I can really go higher than a 6 for Memphis.
Okay. So somebody can go back and listen to the podcast real quick. And let
I shall.
Melissa, what do you think?
No, I mean, I agree with what you guys have been saying. I think that, like, I don't know if Memphis is necessarily playing better than he played last week. But the fact that last week he was very like gruff and just like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do and kind of rub people the wrong way. And yet still this week, people are like, okay, like we'll still work with you. We don't really care. Like, you know, whatever. It's, I thought he was going to be target number one after his HOH, but it seems like, okay, that's, he's blending back into the background, like you guys said. So I'm going to give him a 6, which is higher than my 5 from last week.
All right. The audience has also gone up on Memphis last week, giving him a 4, this week, giving him a 5. So that's how they feel about Memphis. So that's going to be a 5 overall, or no, sorry, a 6 overall for Memphis. So he has gone up in the upward direction. All right, let's talk about Kevin. Kevin, oh boy, Kevin. I still feel terrible about Kevin. I gave him a 4 last week. Is that right? I thought I gave him a 3. we keep having this thing. No, I probably gave him a 4. I just don't feel good about Kevin. I feel worse about Kevin this week than I do last week. So I do think it's appropriate that I gave him a 4 last week, because I'm going to give him a 3 this week. I feel like he is continuing to flounder. He's trying to find purchase and he's not finding any. Nobody trusts him with any information. Nobody's pulling him in. And he's an easy target in the coming weeks. The only positive is that he let Danny know that he'll be pissed if anybody uses him as a pawn. And she's spread that around. And so it does make it less likely that he ends up on the block as a pawn, which is great, but he might end up on the block as an easy target, in the next week or two. And that is not great. I still feel like he could make a deep run. I really do. But right now is it's not it.
Plus, like, also, who cares if he'd be pissed like that he's put up as a pawn? Like,
and?
You have literally no power in this game, and, like, so what? Like, I don't know.
There's a difference between somebody who wouldn't be pissed if they got put up on the block as a pawn and somebody that would be pissed if they got put up on the block as a pawn, right? So if you can put somebody on the block that won't be pissed, then you're going
to
do that.
Yeah, I guess, but it's like once they get down to it and it's just their alliance left or whatever, it's like, well, I don't know.
That's,
yeah,
I mean, it could backfire on him in that regard, in the sense that, like, okay, we need to put 2 people on the block. If Kevin's going to be pissed, then Kevin is going to be my target instead of just not caring or something.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like it's like, it just makes me think, like, if that's like his one thing, that it was like, thank goodness he said this to Danny, that's his one good move. Like, it's like, okay, so I don't know. If he's not working with me, I'm not, and he has like no track record of winning competitions and he doesn't have an alliance backing him up or anything, it's like, okay, you're mad at me. Like, I'm sorry, I didn't have anyone else to put on the block. Like, tough luck. Maybe you should have been in an alliance. I don't know. So I'm giving Kevin a 2. I'm not seeing anything promising, unfortunately.
Ooh, yes. I like it. I gave Kevin a 5 last week. And I, like many of you, was so excited when Kevin Campbell was cast on Big Brother All-Stars. I never thought it would happen. I really thought it was like a super fan's dream. Thought we were the only ones who remembered him. And then when he showed up, I was like, oh my God, this is actually happening. Like, him and Keisha, I feel like, were the two people we were like, wow, we never thought we would get them. And we got them. She was a big old disappointment, and boy, he is as well. It really has been terrible to watch Kevin in the Big Brother house, because as Taryn rightly points out, no one trusts him. That's the thing that comes through loud and clear, is that no one really feels like he has their best interest at heart. Even the people that he gets along with well, from a personal point of view, don't really feel like Kevin is somebody that they could trust with any semblance of credible information. So I also gave Kevin a pretty bad score. I gave him a 3. I wanted to give him a 4 because I do feel like his position is pretty well in the house. But damn, I am starting to question whether or not he could actually win the game. There are a couple of people that there's one or two people I feel like can't win the game. There's one or two people I feel like can't win the game. Like, I really don't feel like they can. And Kevin is one of those people.
Here's the thing I'll say about that. There are a lot of people in this house that I think could be dragged far in the game that I think are not great candidates for jury votes. And when there are a few of those people, anything can happen, right? Yeah. Like, again, I like to point out, we live in a world where Josh won a jury vote.
I know. Yes, there's that. Also, the first of all, yeah, they corrected it. Somebody in the chat's asking, how is Kevin any higher than a one? Well, a one, like, first of all, like, he's not going home, number one. And number two, the only other way you get a one is by truly playing, like, some of the worst Big Brother that I have ever seen. And say what you want about Kevin, but he does at least understand that he needs to vote with the majority, that he needs to not create waves and get in fights with people and make them feel comfortable. He tries to bond with people, tries to schmooze with them. Like, he has emotional intelligence. It's there. And like that, you also saw earlier this week, he has a okay strategic mind when he's not really telling people how he's going to vote. He's like, he doesn't want to get caught on the wrong side of the majority. So he's, because that would be 2 weeks in a row where he didn't vote with the majority. So he's telling people, I'm 50-50 this week. And even when he talks to people, he's like, so I'm going with the majority this week. Is that what you're hearing? Yeah, yeah. Like, it's not like he's coming for Janelle or anything. So he's being very careful. So to me, that's not indicative of a one. And I feel like he has, his position is not terrible. It's just pathetic. That makes sense. So that's why I gave him a three.
All right. Well, the audience also gave Kevin a three this week, so he is going to drop from a four to a three overall. Let's talk about Kacer. Kacer. I unfortunately also have to give Kacer a three. He's on the block. He could theoretically go home. I don't think he will. And I do think that being on the block has improved his social game a little bit. He's talking to people a little more. He's making these connections a little more. But I think that he is probably the most likely person going home next week. And, even if he doesn't go home next week, there's still a ways, to go before he'll be able to truly blend back in and make some real allies in the game. So unfortunately, it's going to be a three. From me, Brent, how do you feel?
I went even lower. I went with a two for Kacer. The thing that's come through loud and clear for me with Kacer is that somehow, some way, these people just will not bond with him for the most part. Like, he can try to have, you know, intimate conversations with people, and I feel like he does an okay job of that. But then, like, immediately, most of them will go and run back to whoever they're supposedly loyal to, and they'll not take anything he says at face value, when I feel like he is being honest can be, with most of these people. He's really trying to connect with them and tell them the truth and make them see that he is a valuable ally. I really do feel like that him or one other person is the most likely person to go home next week. So given all of that, and he's never gotten his way, I mean, show me how Kacer could have played worse. So it's a two.
I'm going to go with a three. And like, it hurts me to do that, because I don't think he's playing poorly. I don't think he has a bad read on the house or anything like that. Like, I think that he's a really smart guy, and I think he's trying his hardest, but it's like, no one, everyone's a brick wall. No one will open up to him. No one will take him in. And I think that if you've reached that point, like, there's not really much you can do to change it up. Like, you just, like, that's just that. And it's unfortunate, because, you know, I think Kacer's a really good player, but I mean,
look, can I ask something, Taryn? So this, I had this thought earlier today. You know, I played I played Sequester, and I played badly like a couple different times, but then like the last time I played, like, I played a little bit better, and I started to listen to people around me who were like, Brent, you just need to, like, you don't need to, like, always bring the fire every time, like, you feel like you have to do. And so, like, do you feel like part of Kacer's problem is the fact that he feels like he has to bring the fire every time? Like, because he's always saying, like, you know, I was put in this house for a reason. I can't be quiet. I can't slow down. I have to keep going. I have to call people out and make big moves. Like, that's why I'm here. Like, do you think it's even possible for Kacer to slow down and be the old man for a couple weeks and just chill and drink coffee and eat cereal? Like, is that even within his wheelhouse?
I mean, like, here's the thing. I think that once upon a time it could have happened. When Kacer came into Big Brother 6, he was in the Bro Alliance. Like, he was in it. He was part of it. And then it went wrong. and he was the underdog, and he was in the underdog alliance, and he came into season 7 as the underdog in the underdog alliance. I mean, it wasn't really the underdog alliance, there were 4 people, but they were
right?
The entire other house, the rest of the house was against them. They were still, like, you know, locked up in this fortress. And he came back into this season, and he was kind of put into a position where Cody wanted to target him right away, and that was, you know, this underdog position. But he was also being given, you know, people are throwing ropes to him. Hey, Kacer, grab on. And he was like, no, don't trust that. I'm the underdog. I don't get pulled into these groups. These groups happen without me. And if they're happening without me, then I need to blow them up. And that's, you know, that's what we saw.
Yeah,
I think the same thing happened to Nicole Anthony. I think Nicole Anthony was like, I'm an underdog. I'm on the outs of these things. And again, like, self-fulfilling prophecy kind of happens. Okay. So
what did the audience say about Kacer? Are they being softies again?
They are. They gave him a 4.
OK, well, that's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be like a 5 or something.
No, not a 5. Not quite.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about Janelle. I can tell you that the audience is also soft on Janelle. They gave her a 4 as well.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, I feel the same about Janelle that I feel about Kacer, which is that, like, nothing that they can say or do is going to change anything, even though they see what's going on in the house. They are smart players. Like, they know what to say to people, but no one will listen. You have to have, like, ears that are willing to hear, and if they're not, then there's nothing you can really do besides just, like, go with the whims of the house. And if the house wants you out at the like, then you're out, or if the tides turn and you get to stay, then you get to stay, and then maybe next week pull it together and figure something else out. But right now it just seems like there's nothing that they can do, and it's unfortunate, but that's why I'm going to give Janelle a 3 as well.
All right, I gave Janelle a 2. Mostly because she's gone home.
Yep.
Yep. I don't know if you realize that. I think a 4 from the audience on a week where the person is going home is probably an all time high.
Yeah. I also gave Janelle 2. Look, I think, you know, Janie is terrific. We love her. Again, I'm begging for a reset button on Thursday, just to make me happy. But I'm not going to give Janie the paddle because I feel like she's a better player than that. And, she's tried, and, you know, I feel like some of the things that are happening are just beyond her control. Like, you know, the whole Franzel thing is, like, I still don't understand what happened there. And I also don't understand Danny. I don't understand what Danny's doing. Danny's become the mean girl that nobody likes on Big Brother. And it's not really fun to watch. But those two things together are just inexplicable to me, considering coming into the season, at least with Danny, like, Janelle thought she was good with Danny.
Right.
Like, she really did. You know,
I feel like that could have been such a good, like, secret thing for both Danny and Janelle.
Can you imagine if this was a season where that was being ruled by Danny and Janelle and Bailey and Davon?
Mm-hmm.
We'd be blowing up shit right now.
Really. I just, there's got to be something, like, outside of the house that is, like, why Danny and Nicole are, like, so close, and why Danny is, like, gravitating towards those people versus, like, Janelle. I mean, unless it really truly is that she just wants to, like,
I mean,
she wants to take her place.
We know that the Amazing Race thing happened. Nicole at the very least believes that Janelle is one of the either, you know, originators or at least spreaders of some of the preseason rumors about her. But when it comes to Danny,
what about Danny?
We've speculated about it, that either a pregame thing that went wrong, or she just came in wanting to, you know, stand.
But she's like, she's telling people that her and Nicole are not close outside the house, but then I'm also hearing that her and Nicole are very close outside the house, so, like, I don't know, but I don't know what the truth is.
Oh, she,
like,
they're close.
Are her and Nicole super, super close outside of the house? Okay, well, I mean, I don't know, I don't follow, like, the outside, like, friendship.
Well, she hit it decently well, like, in real life, but in the house it's obvious the way that they talk and
even on the first night of feet.
I will say this, because I see a lot of people saying, like, oh, it's not Janelle's fault that she was targeted, and, like, I do love Janelle. I think she is a fantastic character. She has played the game 4 times now, and all 4 times she has been targeted immediately. Her first time she was targeted, but they kind of, like, you know, Kacer and some other people became bigger targets. You know, she kind of was able to get her way to the end. The second time she was targeted right away, but she won a billion competitions, was never vulnerable the entire season. The third time she was targeted right away, and this time she was targeted pretty close to right away. At some point we have to be able to say, like, you know, there's one common thing here in all of these seasons, and that is Janelle, right?
But I don't know. I mean, I feel like I don't know. I feel like it's like, what could she have done differently coming into the season that would not make her stand out as Janelle? Like, it's like if Dr. Will or Dan came into the house, like, I just feel like people would immediately be like, okay, these guys are really, like, big players. Like, maybe,
I mean, she played a season with Dan. And she left first opportunity and he made it to the end, right? Like,
no, I know. But I mean, like, I mean, it's the thing is that it does feel unfair to me to have to put Janelle and Kacer together in the house, not have any other duos in the house. And I know we had this conversation last week, but it's like, it still is relevant to me, like, which is that they're the only duo in the house. And not only that, they're the only duo from All Stars, the original. And they're the only duo that, like, is known in the whole Big Brother community as, like, oh my God, these guys are legends. Like, even all the other players who came, like, old school players, they weren't, like, I mean, Kevin, Keisha, like, they're known to fans, but they're not known.
I'm totally with you. Like, she came in with a huge target on her back. Absolutely. It's just like that kind of explains this season. And then you, like, it's sort of the thing where, like, yes, you can have an explanation for the individual season, but when it happens four times, it's like, can we start to say, like, okay, you know, maybe it can be explained away in each individual time, but, like, at some point we have to admit to ourselves, like, something's wrong.
I think,
right?
It also has to do with the fact that, like, she is who she is, and she's this, like, she stands out. Like,
yeah, she's a 10. Yeah, but that Engel says, like, she is a 10 in a room full of fives.
I don't think that makes, like, I don't think that would affect, like, my rating of someone as a game player, because I think she is a good game player. I think that, like, she gets a target painted on her back, like, from the get-go, just because of who she is. Like, she's, like, beautiful, and she's smart, and she's sassy, and she's funny, and she's, like, not emotional, and is just, like, Janelle, you know? And so I think that, like, anytime that she is in the house or whatever, like, even on her first season, like, she could have played any which way, but I think that because she's who she is, people are like, this girl is impressive, and, like, we need to do something about her. She can't, like, blend in. I don't know.
I mean, I think that's fair. I think there, you know, there's a conversation to be had about, like, you know, the natural advantages and disadvantages. I mean, it's something to talk about when you say somebody like Jordan Lloyd is, you know, most of the time probably going to make it to, like, the final four, just based on the fact that she is, you know, inoffensive and non-threatening, and just, like, has that sort of natural advantage. But, like, you know, natural advantages and disadvantages are a huge part of the game. You know, whether you fit in, like, somebody coming in as a 50-year-old, is going to have a severe disadvantage, in the game. And that unfortunately makes them, you know, depending on how you define it, a worse player, right? So I think you're right. I think Janelle is, you know, take away the sort of, like, the target that gets put on her because of who she is and the, like, the social skills that she has and, like, the how she plays the game, like, her strategic mind. Absolutely. She's great. She knows the game really well. She's great at competitions. I think she's, like, an awesome, like, personality. I think she makes great television. She is literally, like, the face of Big Brother, I think, for a lot of people. But I don't think that, for me at least, like, we can't take away her social game. And the fact that she does have trouble bonding with people, for whatever reason it is, she's unable to make it happen. And like, she's great at it in real life. She has besties. She's got 20 besties. But in the game of Big Brother, it just doesn't seem to work out for her. And so, like, if I'm rating on, like, how well do I think she'll do in this game, It's not very good. How is she doing in this game? It's not very good. How do I think she'll do in future seasons? It's not very good. So that's,
you know what, you know what
my
is very good though? This is very good because Janelle's going to get evicted and then she's going to be out here with us. She's going to be on Twitter and she's going to be throwing shade and keeping it real, just like Keisha is. And honestly, it's going to be so much more fun to have her out here with us and just like, you know, talking crap about all the idiot people in the house who, like, literally she tried to tell them what's about to happen to them and then it's going to happen to them. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, it's the small pleasures in life.
She said today, this is all Nicole Anthony's fault. She's a crazy person. I don't think I'm ever going to talk to her.
It finally dawned on Janelle really today and maybe a little bit yesterday how bad Nicole Anthony really just screwed over Janie's game with a few people in the house, specifically David, who I, from Janelle's point of view, is like the linchpin of any vote flip that she could possibly make happen. She needs David's vote in order to make a vote flip happen, and she knows she can't get it. And a lot of it's coming from Nicole Anthony because David is adamant about the fact that, well, you know, remember, I'm close with Nicole Anthony, and you know, that's on you. And like, as if Janelle was the HOH last week. Like, everything Nicole said about how Janie was up there laughing her ass off and they were going to protect Nicole, but then they didn't come through and they made her feel safe and that's why she didn't play the safety competition. Like, Nicole Anthony took no ownership of any of her decisions last week and threw it all onto Janelle. And because of that, now David, who can only, like, literally so many, there are Big Brother players who can think like, you know, six moves ahead. David can only think like one move ahead. So he's thinking one move ahead. He's like, well, you know, you did that to Nicole Anthony. So what do you
Yeah, and
do?
She's like, I didn't do that to Nicole Anthony. I'm not close to Memphis.
She can't
and David
prove a negative.
And David's like, well, that's what you would say if you were close to Memphis and you did do that to Nicole Anthony. She's like, oh my God.
It's like impossible to have a conversation with him. Like, he won't listen.
You wanna, can
he
we talk about him?
Right.
Can we talk about him? Can we, let's just, we're talking about him.
All right, let's talk about David.
Let's talk about David. Y'all know what's coming. He gets the freaking paddle. I have never seen somebody in the history of Big Brother who is as in as safe a spot as David is right now, but yet plays the game badly enough for me to not only give him the paddle, but do it with glee. Like, he is the most abysmal, terrible, no good player I have ever seen in the Big Brother house. I don't understand what he's doing half the time. I don't understand what he's saying. He says stuff that doesn't make sense. It's really frustrating to watch. And the more frustrating thing is that Janie's about to go out this week and David's just sitting there high and mighty because his boy Trevor is HOH. And he doesn't have a care in the world.
She should have listened to my advice.
I know, right? He is just so infuriating to listen to. And it's not like, here's the thing. If he wants to throw shade at Janelle and kick her when she's down because she was trying to, you know, quote unquote, get David voted off last week and save Nicole Anthony, that's his right. He can do that. He got his butt hurt over that. That's fine. He can come for her. But the things he was saying, honey, they did not make sense. They really did not make sense on a purely logical level. It was like I said, he's in the car and he's driving around and he turns left and he turns right at various times and he doesn't really know where he's going, but he's driving and so he feels like he's doing something, but that's not playing Big Brother. Here's the thing. He has no chance to win the game. That is the thing that came through loud and clear to me. Finally, today, I made peace with it. There's no way I can come up with any scenario of any person that could possibly get to the end of the game with David because David's such an ass. There's no way he could possibly survive that jury questioning. There's just no way. It's not happening, and I'm going to continue to give David ones until he starts playing better or shows me that he can win a jury vote.
Like, the logic doesn't make any sense, too. Like, you were just saying where it's like, he's like, I'm mad because of what you did to Nicole Anthony, and you betrayed her, and we're trying to, and you got her on the block. And I'm also mad because you were trying to save Nicole Anthony and not me. And it's like, wait, but like, wait, what? Like, how can you have it both ways? You can't be mad that she tried to get your friend out, but also mad that she tried to get you out when she was trying to save your friend. Like, just doesn't make any sense.
He's mad that she spread rumors that he was in an all guys alliance. Like it does make logical sense. Like what he's saying, it's just
Karen,
he's very wrong about it.
Yeah, you're playing
just
for him.
Don't.
That's not what I heard.
That's
from
not
him.
What he's saying.
That is what he's saying.
He's trying to put logic behind illogical.
You're right that he's not saying it. What he's saying is you spread insinuations and speculations about
like,
me, and she's like, what did I spread? He's like,
never.
We don't need to talk about it. But what he's referring to is the all guys thing.
I think
that's what you're saying, but he won't say it. So I don't know.
He won't say it. So
he
she doesn't have a chance
it.
To defend herself.
Yeah,
it's
because
ridiculous.
Because he doesn't want to give her the chance to defend herself because she's just going to deny it. And he's going to say, well, that's what you would say.
Mm-hmm. Also, I feel like he just doesn't want to give her or Kaser the opportunity to like actually like use like game logic on him. He just wants to like shut it down because he knows that like they're better than him and that they're better at the game.
Ooh.
Like they are better at the game than David. I don't think
yes.
that's like a crazy thing to say. I mean, Janelle and Kaser are both on the block. One of them's going out and we're still giving David a lower score. So it's
well,
not looking
for
great
yourself.
For him. Okay. Well, I am. And I'm giving David a one.
Thank you. That is the only possible score you could give him after this week.
Mm-hmm.
I can't accept anything other than a one. Taryn, what do you
it's
doing?
A Taryn, two.
You're,
it's a
you're
two.
One.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to give David a one this
Why?
Week. It's week three, and I think that he's probably going to be here for a long time, and the game is a long game.
Can
you
he
think
win
he
the
can
game?
Win?
Look, jury questioning doesn't matter. Again, we saw
other
Josh win a jury vote. Josh!
Other than jury questioning.
Josh was banging pots and pans right
okay,
now.
But who is he winning against?
He was throwing things in people's faces.
Who is he winning against?
I'd enjoy that more, to be honest. At least you'd
I'd enjoy it more,
at
too.
At least there's entertainment
here's the
there.
Here's the thing about Josh Martinez. You at least knew he cared. He
mm-hmm.
cared about
it. Yeah, but they didn't care that he cared. They only cared that Paul was sitting next
yeah,
to
but
him.
Yeah, we cared.
I know that we cared, but that what I'm saying is that there's always a chance. There's usually a chance. Who does he sit next to? I have no idea. Maybe he's sitting next to Memphis, who got real bad. Maybe he's sitting next to Cody, who was super douche. Like, I don't know. But
I just want to point
still,
out that
it's in the realm of possibility.
The chat is like, Taryn, stop lying on yourself, Taryn. Stop it. The delusion. Like,
Seen a couple preach
yes.
Taryns, to be fair. Like, Taryn preach, but you know,
this happens
so I guess
every,
we're divided.
This happens every season. I have to be the one that points out that what he's saying does make logical sense and it ruins everyone's fun. I'm not trying to say that you shouldn't berate him for the conversation, but we don't have to misrepresent it to do it, right? And so, like, I get made
I feel
fun
like
of
I'm
in the chat.
It authentically. I really
yeah.
do.
No, I mean, look, I, it's saying it doesn't make logical sense, I think, is not the correct interpretation or representation of the conversation because he does, like, what he's trying to get across is an actual point.
But
he
he's not capable of getting that
yeah,
across.
I think that's the problem.
Exactly.
Is that his.
Okay.
He's in
see,
his
that's
mind,
the, see, that's
he
the,
sees what's going on, but the, it's like he's not communicating logic at all.
But see, that's the problem here. We're like, I'm trying to point that out. I'm trying to say that's his problem. But when I say anything that is not bashing him, people assume I'm defending him. When what I'm really trying to do is like clarify, this isn't the problem. This is the problem. But like,
it's all a problem.
Yeah,
all of it. The whole thing's a problem.
It's all a problem because he didn't research Big Brother. He didn't do a little bit of looking into exactly. Okay, what's my plan going to be? What am I going to do? What needs to be done? I have a little bit of a history of the people mm-hmm. that he was going to possibly be playing with. He didn't do anything like that. He literally looks like a lost puppy, and it's become so evident. I know people that were rooting for him week one. Week two gave him a little bit of a break because Memphis was such a badass as an HOH. But my God, week three, like, the people have come for David Alexander, let me tell you. So I'm excited to see what the audience gave him.
The audience gave him a two. The audience gave him a two.
Wasn't even
close to a one, by the way.
It was hard, closer
to a three than a one.
I'd have to ask Alexander or Christina the last time that the audience actually awarded somebody a one, because that's, you know, it's really hard to do just from a purely like numbers point of
Nicole
view.
Anthony was getting there.
Was close. Yeah.
Yeah, Nicole Anthony was much lower than David. That's how they feel. But I mean, look, the audience gave David a 2 and Janelle a 4. And Janelle is going home this week. So that should tell you something at least. All right, let's move on to Ian. Let's talk about Ian. I can tell you that I feel still kind of on Ian. I gave him a 5 last week. I'm going to give him a 5 again this week. I think that there are things that have been good for him this week and things that have been bad for him this week. He has a new alliance. That's great. But it's not going to help him if he ends up on the block next to Nicole, which is the most likely scenario for him if he goes on the block. And if anything, it's only given him a false confidence. He has like he has this sort of image of the house that is wrong. He's very in the dark about the real dynamics of the house, and
Black
he hasn't
back.
Yeah, I mean, again, we could be talking about Big Brother 14 right now. He hasn't really made any real connections in the house other than Nicole, which is not great. And I am starting to see some of that Big Brother 14 Ian that Dan liked to see from Ian in Big Brother 14, which is like he pisses people off sometimes. He's had some choice words for Janelle, and he's starting to get a little big for his britches with this new alliance.
He's got a strut to him. He's got that DDE. He really does. Like he's walking around the house feeling himself. So I am with you, Taryn. I heard what you said on the updates, and I saw it myself that the minute he got into this Prime, whatever the hell it's called, alliance and started to feel great about his position in the Big Brother house. At first I thought he knew it was kind of fakeish and that they were just sort of placating him. But then, I'm sorry, it's telling me my internet connection is unstable. But anyway, I'm fine. Okay, cool. But literally, I think that he's believing it hook, line, and sinker. I think he thinks he's just set. He has no idea that there are possible ways for him to go out of the house in the near future. And I don't feel good about him. I gave him a 6 last week, and I am dropping it down to a 5 this week. I think there are positive things that Ian did, like Taryn notes. But I do feel like he's being snowed. I feel like he's being snowed. And that's not a good feeling to have. And because that's what happened to him on 14. And I feel like it's happening again.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, did you give your rating?
I did.
Yes.
I dropped him down to a 5.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I feel the exact same way that you guys feel, although last week I gave him a 5 and I don't feel that as good about him anymore. Not that I felt great about him with a 5, but I'm going to give him a 4 just because I agree with what you guys are saying. I think that he thinks that 4 prime or whatever is too real, and he just like thinks that he's in a good position when he's not, and he thinks he knows the house and he doesn't. And it's just, I feel like it's one thing to not know those elements, but think like, yeah, I need to figure this out, versus like, you don't know those elements and you're like, I do know those elements. I don't know. I just feel like there's a difference between the false confidence and just being like, I'm in the dark and I need to like look around. So I give him a 4.
Yeah, by the way, also, the chat is reminding me that the chart says that I gave Ian a 5 last week, but I'm still going to give him a 5 this week. I write down my ratings ahead of time.
Do sometimes you change it last minute? Is that maybe what's
like,
happening?
If something comes up, I do, but usually I make a note of it, and like this is twice now that that's happened. So like I have the ratings written down that I've given out so far, and I'm not going to change them going into next
week. We need a fact checker.
Yeah, right. I'm like, are you guys sure that that's I thought I gave him a 6. But oh, well, whatever.
All right. Well, I can tell you that the audience was very close on this one, but they gave him a 6 overall. They were very close to giving him a 5, but they are sticking with their 6. They refuse to believe that Ian is anything less than a 6. All right. Let's talk about Enzo. I feel great about Enzo. The audience also feels great about Enzo. The audience gave him an 8 out of 10 this week, up from a 7 last week. Melissa, do you agree?
Yeah, I feel really good about Enzo. I feel like he's in a really good position and everyone really likes him. Like, even if he's not in an alliance with certain people, they all talk about him saying, you know, I really like Enzo. Oh, Enzo is a fun guy. I want to keep him around. Like, I don't see anybody targeting him. And he's winning competitions, and yet people don't really see him as a threat in that way. So I think he's doing really well. And I gave him a 7 last week, and this week I'm going to give him an 8.
All right.
Very cool. By the way, I have got a confirmation from the chat. Thank you, Ariel, that says, Brent, you dropped Ian to a 5 last week instead of giving him a 6 because Terrence said on the podcast that Ian said he was okay with being the Brittany to Nicole's brigade. And I do remember that moment when I was like, oh, I didn't know that that happened. So that's why I dropped him down a peg. So yeah, I did give him a 5 last week, and I'm giving Ian a 5 this week, like I said. As far as Enzo goes, this is much of the same. Enzo, like, he won his second competition. Really cool. I never thought I'd see the day, because, like, the thing about Enzo back in his original season was that he couldn't win shit until finally, like, the one time we didn't want him to win, he finally won that OTAP competition. He's looking good, man. Like, everybody loves him. No one's coming for him. He's not seen as sneaky or shady. He's not seen as somebody that you can't trust. Everybody enjoys Enzo. I just don't think anybody's ever going to come for him, like, until we're down to maybe, like, 7 people left, maybe. So, like, he's playing as well as he can play. And he's got a little bit of a temper on him sometimes, and none of that's come out. So it's an 8 for me, and I'm really psyched to see him play.
It's an 8 for me as well. I still feel great about Enzo. Honestly, no real changes here for Enzo. He's still in a great spot. Nothing has really changed for him. That's why he was an 8 for me last week, because I felt like he's in a very stable position. That even if Tyler and Danny start fighting, even if the alliance blows up, like, Enzo is just always going to be able to steer clear of any real damage from that.
Even if, like, Kacer wins HOH and decides to make a big move and go after, like, you know, like, the middle of the alliance, like Cody and Danny, or Tyler and Cody, or, like, Enzo is just never coming up.
And more than anyone, I think he can shift and adapt to whatever new alliance forms, and everybody will always still want to pull him in as a number. And he just won his second competition, proving again that he can win comps and get some respect on his name in the end game. So I still like it. And it's still,
yes, I remember that preseason podcast that y'all did. It wasn't me, so I don't know who it was, but there was a preseason podcast. Maybe you were on it, Taryn, because I think you did all of them, right?
Yes.
With Enzo, and they were shading him. They were shading him left and right. Look at him now, honey.
Doing well. All right. Let's talk about Danny. Melissa, how do you feel about Danny's position?
I feel about the same as her position as I did last week, just because while she is in a good place now, I feel like there is a lot more discussion about her name and people kind of wary of her, which might not bode well for the future when people start turning on each other. I could see a situation where Danny gets turned on first, or like one of the first. And that's not a really good place to be in the big alliance. So, I'm going to stick with my 6.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Again, her position has shifted a lot, but I still feel like it's a 6. Tyler has her number. He's helped flip Christmas on her. Bailey and Davon are both watching her closely. Kacer just brought her up to Christmas. There's just a lot of danger points that could theoretically put her in the firing line as early as potentially next week, though I think that's unlikely. But she's on a timer. It's her versus Tyler, and one of them's going to shoot first. And from what I'm seeing, Tyler has both the motivation and the means to shoot first. She's talking about Tyler later. Tyler's talking about Danny soon. She's talking about Tyler to people that are like, sure. Tyler's talking to Danny about people like, oh yeah, yeah, definitely. So I'm going to give the edge to Tyler on this potential war. And this is her long-term game. It feels like a coin flip that Tyler just has the edge on her for. And so, because of that, it is a 6 from me. The audience also went with a 6. Brent.
Let's make it unanimous. I also went with a 6. I echo what you said. And, I'm intrigued to see what happens if Danny realizes that she's been played first, because it's been smooth sailing thus far for Danny Briones.
Yeah. Not a lot of movement so far on the sock, which is not surprising because Tyler HOH really helped keep the, you know, the status quo, as we talked about in the first portion of the podcast. And so a lot of people are in similar positions, to where they were before. Let's talk about, speaking of, Davon. Last week I gave Davon a 4. This week I feel the same. I think that she's in a worse position than she was last week because the clock is ticking. But I also feel like she has a couple more outs this week that she didn't have last week. And that is, specifically Tyler. That there's something there. Her relationship with Kevin is like not very helpful to her in any way. And it's been clocked. So like, that's not good. She's a likely target for next week. She spent a lot of this week just, she calls it observing, which means that she's not speaking. And that's,
her
that
getting
was not
into
great.
Trouble.
Yeah. So a lot of negatives, but she's also the kind of player where, if she survives, I feel like she can bounce back. And she just has that like respect factor, that, even though people might not trust her right now, they do respect her and they might, be able to be back on board if things shift. So I don't think she's like irretrievable, but, it is a 4. It is barely a 4 for me, but, I did go with a 4 ultimately. Brent, how do you feel?
I mean, I'm going to do something a little controversial, and I'm going to award Davon a 2. I gave her a 3 last week, and she, believe it or not, has played worse this week. I didn't think it was really possible for her to play worse than she played last week, but she's gotten herself into a position where she literally is one of two possible people that I think is most likely to go home next week. It's either her or Kacer. I really do think there's a chance that Davon is the 4th person evicted from Big Brother All-Stars, which it's just unbelievable to me. But there is a non-zero chance that that's going to happen. In fact, I would think that of the people in the house, her and Kacer probably are tied in terms of like a plurality of a chance of it happening. I'd say like, you know, 20% chance for Kacer to go home, 20% for Davon to go home, and maybe like, you know, other percentages for other people all spread out along the way. But she, a couple things. She's incapable of watching her mouth. She talks too damn much. And as somebody who talks too damn much himself, I understand her plight. But still, you have to be aware of, you know, who you are and know that those are your weaknesses. And also, she, like, just like me, she kind of wears her heart on her sleeve. And if she's irritated with you, you're kind of going to know about it. And if she doesn't trust you, you're kind of going to know about it. She's not great at faking, and a lot of people will stan her on Twitter, as do I, because she keeps it real. But from a game point of view, she has to be able to kiss ass just a little bit more. She's not capable of doing that. So yeah, I'm gonna give her 2. Same score as David. I'm sorry, not same score as David, same one point higher than David, because her position is ghastly. Okay, yes, Taryn talks about the fact that Tyler may be the lifesaver for her, but Tyler can't play for HOH next week. And depending on who wins, there's a lot of people in this house that really don't want to get rid of Kacer. They think he's not even somebody to worry about. And if they go after either Bailey or Davon, I think that the cards are going to fall against Davon. I know Nicole is pushing for Bay, but I think everyone else is Davon. So it's a 2 for me.
Melissa? Yeah, I would give Day I'd give Day a 3, so I'm going to be
splitting the difference
in between you guys. I agree with what both you guys were saying. I think that there's a situation where she could find her way out of being targeted next week, but at the same time, it does feel like her name is being said a lot. And
a
if
lot.
People want to choose like a safe option rather than turning inward and maybe like Tyler targeting Danny or, you know, something like that. Like if they want to choose someone who's kind of on the outs, Day's on the outs, and you know it's easy to make up a reason for why she should go, like, you know, oh, I heard she tried to turn me against you, or like she is, you know, not trustworthy or whatever they say, whatever they make up. So it does feel like there is a situation where she goes next week, and I really don't want that to happen, but there is a situation where she goes next week, and it does seem like she, I mean, we've been saying this since the beginning that like her reads aren't totally on. And it's like,
and to be fair to her, a lot of people's reads aren't totally on.
Oh no. I mean, it's not just her. It's like literally everybody.
Yeah.
So, you know,
By the way, I see somebody in the chat, Fugi TV coming for me. They got timed out by one of the moderators. Well, bitch, I'll come. You can come for me and I'll keep it real with you about Davon. The question is, well, some of you are saying that Davon is too quiet and some of you are saying that Davon talks too much. Which is it? Well, there's this thing called subtlety within the Big Brother game, and it's about when she's quiet and when she talks. That's the problem. When she's in a group of people and they're all supposed to be trusting each other and talking to each other, and she sits over there in the corner with, like, she's sucking a lemon and doesn't trust any of them, it's not cute. And then when she's, like, going behind people's backs and, like, insists on spreading falsehood just to see if she can trust somebody, that's talking too much. Yeah. So yes, it can be both, because that's the Big Brother game.
Yeah,
sorry about it.
Yeah, if you're in a room and you're supposedly with an alliance there, you don't have to, like, give away information, but you could just, like, say certain catchphrases that don't really mean anything, like a lot of people do. Like, just, like, nod your head or, like, talk a little bit, but don't, like, you don't have to be the one spouting information, but you have to make it seem like you're receptive and that, like, you agree with what the people are in your alliance are saying. And then, you know, otherwise it just seems like, okay, it seems like she's collecting information to go run to somebody else because she doesn't feel fully like she can, like, talk to us. So I would be suspicious of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like weirdly here, I am the voice of the people this week for some reason, because the audience has given Davon a 4 overall there.
We love Davon. Listen, again, I said this at the beginning of the season. You show me a season where Davon wins Big Brother and I will show you one happy camper in myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I would be ecstatic if she could pull it off. But, like, we're living in a world right now where Davon is like, well, if we win HOH next week, we've got to put up Kaser. We've got to do it. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't that's, have yeah, to do
you
that.
Don't have, you don't have to do
that
anything.
It's terrible play.
That's the thing is, like, that's also, I feel, the difference between, I know this has, like, been played out, but that's the difference between, like, old school and new school Big Brother. It's like, you don't have to do anything. Like, you can put up people who are going against you. You don't have to put up people who would work with you just because the rest of the house wants it. Like, don't do what the HOH wants. Don't do what the rest of the house wants. Like, you can play your own game. I don't know.
All right. Well, let's talk about Cody. Cody is up next here. Cody, from the audience, got a 7 this week. Last week, he also got a 7. He's going to maintain that 7. Now, last week, I gave Cody a 6. I was not overly impressed with how he handled the chaos of the week. I also felt like he was in some danger in the event that somebody like Janelle won the HOH, and she came real close. So I feel somewhat justified in that. However, Janelle did not win the HOH. Tyler won the HOH, and Janelle will be going home. And with that, Cody has solidified the vice grip on the throat of this game. I think that he is the front runner right now. He is the best positioned in the house. He is not touching the block next week. He is the person where, if everything continues to run the way it's supposed to run, he will win this game, because he's got Nicole, he's got Danny, he's got Enzo. He even has Tyler to a degree, because even Tyler has to contend with Danny before he can even think about Cody. And that is huge for Cody. So for me, Cody is at an 8 overall. And that's where I have him.
And that's that on that. Yeah, yeah. I also gave him an 8. I feel fantastic about Cody. I think Melissa does as well. Yep. Like, he's just somebody who, I think that his one weakness is, it to me, like, when Franzel came up and was like, you know, oh, Bailey said your name. And then instantly he, like, switches his mind to be like, well, I'll just put her up. Like, he's got a little of a loose trigger. He can be manipulated a little bit, I feel like. But other than that, that's, like, nitpicky stuff. I feel like he's playing excellent. Everybody likes him. Everybody respects him. Nobody's going to put him up on the block, and any chance that he had of going home, I think, is on. Like, it's an 8 for me, and I feel like that's the highest score I'm giving this week. Spoiler alert. And that's just fantastic from him. Like, he's not exactly. Look, I didn't want to see Cody back this season on Big Brother. Like, I don't know if many people did. He's a pretty face, but he doesn't give me a lot in terms of the drama and the, you know, strategy and the backstabbing that I'm looking for in Big Brother. He's a little haughty and he's a little full of himself. He's a little arrogant, but I cannot deny the fact that he has got a really hard grip on that house.
Yeah. And I mean, like what you were saying about the loose trigger finger, whatever you said, that was a problem of his in Big Brother 16, was like anytime he heard something that someone said about him or about his alliance or whatever, he was like, well, I'm going to go confront them. Like, I'm going to go confront them right now. And then Derek would always be the person being like, no, you're not. Like, right. Just wait. Yeah. Like,
calm down.
Yeah, calm down. Let's talk about it. And, you know, we're always watching the feed like, oh my God, he's going to confront them. And then it was like, oh no, he's not. And so I think that like in this situation, he doesn't have Derek there. So it's possible that down the line, that might be an issue for him. But right now, he's fine and he's in a good position and he's like seemingly totally insulated. So, I agree. And I think he's an 8.
I think Tammy Ross sums it up for us where she says that Cody keeps it at a calm house bar.
I have seen him self-censor too. Like he will say things like, all right, I'm putting Bailey up on the block then. And then he'll be like, no, that's dumb. Can't do that. And he said earlier, like, I'll use Davon as a pawn. It'll be great. He was talking about that for a little while. And then he was like, wait a minute. No, that's stupid. Why would I do that? I'm not going to show my cards. So like he still has these like gut reactions, but he's got like an inner Derek in his head being like, oh, hold on. Think about it. Okay, never mind.
Always good to have an inner Derek.
No. All right, let's talk about Christmas. Melissa, how do you feel about Christmas?
I do think that she's in a better position. Like, I gave her a 5 last week, and I think that was mainly because she won the competition, and I felt like she didn't need to do that. And she put herself in a weird position with Memphis because it was like she saved his target, and it was like a whole thing that was not intentional and not needed. But I do feel like she's in a pretty good position now. I feel like people want to work with her. She's making additional final twos. She's got this thing with Tyler, with the thing with Nicole. Like, I do think she's in a good position. However, I don't necessarily see her like pulling into like a front runner position. She always just seems like the kind of person who's like willing to just take a back seat to other people and just be a number. And that concerns me in the long game, but I feel like right now she's playing fine. And so I'm going to give her a 6.
Yeah, that's my problem, Melissa, is that I feel like, you know, there are shepherds and there are sheep in this game. And I feel like she's a sheep, and I feel like she's almost content to be a sheep. She's being used by other people to further their goals. She might come along for the ride. She might not, but she's not really the one with the control. She's not really the one with the agency in the decisions. She's just implementing the decisions for other people. So the best I can go right now is a 6 for Christmas, because she is playing a really solid social game.
Well, I actually do feel a bit better about Christmas this week than I did last week. And I'll say I almost gave Christmas a 7 last week. I like what she's doing. Last week, one of my criticisms was that I felt like she kind of fell into this good position where she was good with everyone in the house, that it just kind of happened for her. And I wasn't confident that she'd be able to maintain something like that. This week, I've seen her be proactive about maintaining that spot and additionally picking up new people. The fact that Enzo is talking about her like she's his parachute alliance is kind of crazy to me. The fact that she's managed to pull off a final two deal with Nicole Franzel is pretty crazy to me. She maintains the relationships with Bailey and Davon to a certain degree, at least with Bailey, to still get some information there and stay safe with those people. She solidified her final two with Tyler. And if Tyler does well, she will do well as well. And if Tyler doesn't do well, I think she has the pieces in place to launch forward from that. I feel pretty good about this. And I think that like the fact that there are a lot of other people like David and Kevin even Nicole Franzel, like other people that I do think she might actually have a shot at winning a jury vote against. That's still my biggest concern with her, because I do think that she is going to make it far. It's just a matter of, can she win a jury vote? And I think it's possible. I think it's very possible. Not only can she win a bunch of competitions to make it happen, but I do think that she has a lot of social connections that might make this work. So I did give her a 7, which the audience, again, voice of the audience this week, agrees with me. They moved up from a 6 to a 7 on Christmas this week. So there it is. Christmas at a 7. Let's talk about Bailey. Bailey, the final person to talk about. The audience on Bailey is a 6. Down from a 7 last week. Brent, how do you feel?
Yeah, I gave her a 6 last week, and I'm also going to drop her down a peg. I think that she's playing a average game right now. I think that she does well connecting with people. She is good. Unlike Davon, she's good at hiding her true feelings sometimes. She's able to convince people that she's with them for the most part, unless you're somebody like Tyler who kind of has a read on her. I feel like that, but even that's okay, because I feel like Tyler needs Bailey right now. And so like, that's not really going to have any impact on the game currently. The one thing that I will say is that she has a choice in front of her about how she wants to go. Like, and I feel like I already know what she's going to do. She's going to go with Tyler. And that may be, like, it's not really what I want her to do, but it may be the best course of action for her. But there are ways for her to also be eliminated next week. If somehow Davon ends up on the block, Davon wins a veto, and they want to split up Davon and Bailey, I could see a way where Bailey would end up being evicted during the fourth week of Big Brother, which would not be fun, because she's been playing a mighty game up until this point. She's been trying. I mean, it's not like she's doing nothing. It's just the fact that a few of her reads are a little wrong. And I am a little fancy Fitzerton. Sorry about it. But I really feel like that there's good and bad stuff about her game. And as much as I want to give her credit for the good stuff, I feel like you have to call out the bad stuff. And her acknowledging that, you know, if they got HOH, she agreed with Avon. Like, they would have to go after Kacer if they won HOH. That was really startling to hear. And also, like, she's sort of sticking her neck out for Janelle this week in terms of trying to keep her. But the votes aren't there for that. And I don't know how much damage she's going to do over the next 2 days. I feel like a 5 is a fair score for her.
Yeah, I'm with you. I gave her a 5. I think I gave her a 6 last week. I started the season giving her an 8. I felt so good about where she was and how she was playing. And it's not even like the thing I was worried about was like, will she get power and do something wrong with it? Or, you know, screw up her social game in some way. That hasn't really happened. It's more been a slow deterioration. And I unfortunately have to say that it's in large part due to Davon, right, that has deteriorated her position. Yeah. If she wasn't attached to Davon, I think that she would be in a much better position right now. And it's very unfortunate, but it is kind of where we're at. Now I think that she's in some trouble this week. She has Nicole coming for her, and Ian coming for her because of Nicole, and that's dangerous. She could end up on the block with Davon, and you would have Nicole and Ian trying to flip the vote on her. I bet that's
even worse. I feel like she could end up on the block with Kacer.
I mean, that's like a Nicole and Ian kind of move.
The house guests have talked about the fact that they don't want the optics of putting Bailey and Davon on the block. I think Ian has said he wouldn't even do that at some point. So, like, if they're looking for a way around that and they want to get Bailey out of the house, they could put Bailey and Kacer up on the block. And in that case, I do feel like that Bailey would go home, because people look at Kacer like, well, you know, he's doing nothing. He's by himself. Let's take a shot at Bailey right now. So it really depends on who gets HOH in terms of who ends up with the short end of the stick, if either of them do this coming week.
Yeah. Now, again, there's some light at the end of this tunnel. I think the inroads she's made with Tyler are massive for her game. And if she does lose Devon, I think that she can rebound and I think that she can reintegrate. And I think that Tyler becomes a bigger target than her. And he also becomes a very good asset for her in the game.
By the way, Taryn, that mistake that Danny made about confirming to Bailey that Tyler would not betray her, that is the example of a player benefit, a player like Bailey benefiting from a mistake of somebody else. There's no way that, especially if Danny is serious about coming for Tyler, that she should be telling Bailey that Tyler was being true. Like, she should be trying to ferment distrust and paranoia within Bailey. She should not be trying to make Bailey feel great and solid about Tyler, but that's exactly what she did. So, like, that's just a little bit of good luck for Bailey. So we'll take it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Melissa, how do you feel?
Yeah, it's unfortunate because I really like Bailey. I think she's playing a really fun game. And I think that, like, I love her friendship with Janelle and Kaser. And I, like, love what she's trying to do. And that I don't think she's trying to just, like, fit in with the large group. That's why I like what Brent said. It is strange and unfortunate that her and Devon said that thing about Kaser. I mean, who knows if that's actually what they would do. Maybe that's just something they're like, maybe we have to do it, but we're not going to. Like, I don't know. But it is definitely concerning that they would say that. I don't want to give Bailey a low rating because, like, I love the game she's playing, but I'm worried about her. And that's why I'm going to have to give her a 5. And that's, like, it hurts me to do that because, like, I'm really loving her game, but it's the same with Janelle and Kaser. Like, I'm worried. I don't see necessarily, like, an in for them besides this, like, little Tyler thing or whatever, but I feel like so many people are targeting them. And I also just want to say that, like, Ian's game is making me really sad. This doesn't have to do with Bailey, but I know you guys mentioned Ian about how Ian is targeting Bailey because of Nicole. Like, what is he doing? Why does he think that, like, Nicole is, like, his number one? Like, it makes me sad to watch it, really. Like, I just don't think
same guy that thought Dan was his number one, you know?
I know, it's like you'd think that after it really is. This whole season has been showing me that, like, you follow your same patterns and it's really hard to, like, break out of what you like. It's everybody comes into the game saying, like, I'm going to play it totally different. I'm going to learn from my mistakes. And it's like history repeats itself over and over with all these people. And it's sad to watch, especially with Ian, because I was really, really, really excited to see him play. I did his little intro, that podcast, and I was really looking forward to seeing him play. And I'm very sad by what's going on with his game. Like, I just feel like he doesn't have any, like, true allies. I think Nicole would throw him under the bus if she needed to, like, in a heartbeat.
She said that she trusts Enzo more than Ian.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's, like, and I feel bad for Ian because I just feel like he has this little, like, 4 prime thing and he thinks it's real. And then he, like, has Nicole and he thinks that's real. And, like, none of it's real. And it's sad to watch, really, like, I have to say. And so I don't know. It's just and it's scary to me, this thing about Bailey, because remember on her season, we had her really, really high. And then it was like a deterioration. And I think the at least for Bailey, it's not because of things she's really doing. Whereas last time it was like she was making these mistakes. But at the same time, it's like, I don't want that for her. I want her to do well. And I want her to be rewarded for the way that she's been playing so far. And I'm not seeing it yet, but.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think a majority of the things that have gone wrong for Bailey this week specifically are things that were out of her control. I do not believe that most of the things that happened this week against her are things that she really could have impacted if she had tried. There were a couple things. She made a couple mistakes, made a couple jokes. The thing with Nicole about hurting her feelings. Definitely was blown out of proportion, but also she gave the opening to Danny to ferment it. Like, Danny's pouring a little gasoline on it, trying to make it a bigger thing than what it was.
It's crazy. I mean, have you seen that tweet going around where Nicole literally said the same thing in a tweet? So, like, are we joking about it? Or are we not joking about it? If it's a strategy that Nicole is using to, like, if it's not legit and she's not upset by it and she's using it as a strategy, like to cry about it and be sad about it and make Bailey look bad and find a way to turn people against Bailey, like, good for her. That's great. Like, go for it. But like, if she's legitimately saying that she's upset by it, like, you can't make a joke about yourself and then have someone else repeat that same joke and then you get upset about it and say it's inappropriate or whatever. Like,
I don't know. I don't know. I don't really agree with that. I think there's a difference between making a joke yourself and trying to make light of something that might actually hurt you and hearing it from somebody else in the context of them being pissed off at you. Cause like that was Devon was saying she was pissed at you. Like, I do think that's a difference where it's again, like I'm all like Bailey is in the right here, but I don't think that that's like a fair criticism that particular bit.
I think it's fair. And I stand by
you,
it.
You might make fun of yourself, but like if somebody else is pissed off at you and they make fun of you about something that's like sensitive, like that there's a difference there, you know?
I don't know. I feel like it's being too sensitive about it. I don't know. I understand that she's upset by it, but like, I feel like Nicole takes everything so personally and plays very personally. And I feel
100%.
Like, if this is a strategy that she, like, if all of this is a strategy and all this, like, crying and, like, this whole Janelle thing, like, if it's all for strategy, then I'm like, okay, I totally get it. But if her strategy is emotional, then that's different. Like, I just feel like it's, like, you're using emotion as a strategy is very different than you having your strategy be that you're emotional. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I
understand where you're coming from, but I think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. That's okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like, I'm not saying that she has like no right to be sad about something, but I do think that like there's a difference between, I don't know. I just feel like there's a sadness and you're using it like you're actually using it to further your game versus like you're basing game decisions off of you being sad. Like if she's targeting, she's targeting Bailey because she's hurt versus she's using that hurt to, as a reason or as a way to get people to target Bailey.
If it's the former, that sucks. If it's the latter, we stand.
Right. So, exactly.
I think that she has emotional reactions and she plays her game based on those emotional reactions. That's my.
Well, in this context, we hate that because there was nothing to that.
I kind of think it's the other way around. I kind of think that she uses these emotions to garner sympathy and get people to do stuff for her on purpose and get people to target people on purpose. I think the Janelle stuff, like, I think it's all on purpose.
I mean, I think that, yes, I agree. I think it's on purpose. But I think that they're real emotions that she then uses on purpose to gain sympathy, if that makes sense. I don't think she's faking the crying or anything. You know what I mean? Like, I think she's genuinely a very emotional and fragile person. And she's very like paranoid and she plays out of fear. And that's like what she does.
Personally. I want to believe that that it's all just strategy. Like, that's what I want.
I don't think that's her. Like,
I know.
Cause I spoke to her after Big Brother 18 and I talked through her game and every single time she gave me an answer, it was a disappointing answer. It was not that I did this all on purpose. It was that, yes, I did have this emotional reaction and that's why I did this. I don't think that devalues how good she is as a player, but I do think it devalues how I want to see her as, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, no, totally. It makes sense. I mean, well, because like, you know, with Vanessa, right, it was like she was using emotions and crying and like all that as her strategy. And I don't think it stemmed necessarily from like, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think it stemmed from like a purely emotional place. I think it was like, how do I get this to happen? And I'm going to use my ways.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like that they're sort of similar in that they're both sensitive people and they both do use their emotions and the result of those emotions and the sympathy they garner to garner currency and credit in the house and get things done that they want done.
Yes.
And I feel like that's not outside the realm of possibility for both of them. I do feel like that a lot of people have a short memory, but we didn't like Vanessa either. When Vanessa was in the house, we were really over her crying. And we also wanted the same thing from Vanessa that we won from Nicole. We want her to own it.
Right.
We want her to be like, you know what?
And she wouldn't. And I think that's That's the most biggest thing.
I mean, I also think that Vanessa was genuine in those emotions. And I think that this is why I made this comparison early in the season. I think that they play in a very similar way in that they are both very emotional players who have these big emotional. I mean, Vanessa is a paranoid person. She was running around the house saying that Clay was a twin. Like she had so many crazy theories and she would just like fall on people. But she used that to her advantage. I think that Nicole does something similar in that she has these crazy emotional reactions, but she does then use them in the game. I think that Vanessa is a much smarter strategic player, and she did sometimes do like purely strategic moves, you know, but I don't think she ever faked her emotions. Somebody pointed out in the chat that Melissa, you are prone to like really believing that that women are faking crying, for instance, when you thought Christy was faking her crying last season.
I guess it's just like I want to believe it. Like I want to believe that like it's all a ruse and it's like it's purely strategy. Like that's what I want. Like otherwise it's like,
oh yeah.
Because I don't know,
we don't often get that from women.
It would be
we
really
don't. With some men like Derek or Dan or Will, we get like the little winks and stuff, and we get the stuff from the diary room with them laughing at people like, you know, I see what I pulled over on those people. Like we never get that from somebody.
Yeah, I mean,
like
you get like Dan's funeral when he's like pretending to be really emotional to everybody, and then is like, did I go crazy? No, and it's like that's what I'm hoping we see from these girls who are crying, rather than just like, oh, it's just a girl is crying. It's like, yeah, we get that all the time. Girls crying,
I would love it, and I wish that Vanessa was that too, because I think she's one of the closest people to it, right? For me, like something that really confirmed The Amazing Race, and like Nicole was this way on The Amazing Race too. Like she had these freakouts. She would cry to Victor.
She cries at the drop of a hat.
Yeah,
like it's kind of crazy. I will say this though, just to be totally fair. Like, I know that's very easy for, like, I'll just say me specifically, for me to sit on the outside and be like, you know, why can't Vanessa and Nicole, why can't they own their shit more? And why can't they just go in the diary room and say, you know what? I did that shit and I loved it. You know, like, I don't know if y'all know this, but misogyny is very real on social media. And even though we personally would love it, there may be a lot of people, like the Facebook people, for instance, the Joker's Updates people, who may actually prefer this version of Nicole rather than the Nicole that we're asking for. So it might be something where she's protecting herself by not admitting that
also,
it's totally a scam.
Even in the episode when she like called out Janelle or whatever, like called out Janelle.
right?
And then in the diary room, like I want to see her be like, yeah, like Janelle has been talking crap about me, so I'm going to like show her that I don't care, whatever. But instead she's like, oh my God, did I just say that? I just said whatever came into my mind. It's like, okay, no, you didn't just say whatever came into your mind. You just like said, oh no, you spewed it out. Oh no. Like, no, you meant to say it and then you regretted it. So like, just own it and say that like, that you wanted to call Janelle out.
And, like, I think that is on purpose. I think that is intentional. Like these sort of like, oops, I was a little bit shady. I didn't mean to be
like
she does that a lot. And I think that I do think that that is on purpose.
Right.
And I agree with Brent. I think that, you know, I think that there is an aspect of this that is needing to maintain her image, which is a good image.
Sweet country girl.
It
exactly.
is.
Yes.
To the casual audience.
To the Coco Caliente listeners.
I mean, she's one of the more successful social media influencers to come from Big Brother. And it's, you know, it's annoying to us.
It's annoying to me. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I see what you're saying. Although, to be fair, like my mom is a casual viewer and she's like, ugh, Nicole Franzl.
My mom is like, casual too, and
she's
like,
ah,
yeah, not a fan.
Yeah, she loves my mom loves Janelle and Kacer and is like not on board with Nicole Franzl. So, yeah.
I mean, hey, it's always bad to go against Janelle and Kacer. All right. So that's the stock watch. That's what we have for the week. We have a couple of other bonus questions to go through here. I asked you how you rated the episodes this week. 5.7 out of 10. So this is a drop from the previous week. People not super big on the episodes this week. How would you rate the feeds this week? A 5.1 out of 10. A drop from the 7.2 last week. And then the season as a whole. Last week was a 7. This week, a 5.6. People feel like this is the week where everything has just gone to hell.
Yeah. Hell in a handbasket. Yep.
Well, we agree. So,
yeah. So, I asked you to rank the players from your favorite to your least favorites. And you guys put, surprise, surprise, Janelle at the top, followed by Kacer and then Tyler. In third place, supplanting Ian. Ian fell out of
third. It's very interesting how Tyler is in third. It's like he put the top two on the block, and he's going to get rid of one of them. But it's like, yeah, but we still really like him.
it's impressive, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
It's honestly, like,
he's literally getting rid of the fan favorite.
Yeah, within the house, like, Tyler has become more tolerable. Like, a lot of this, a lot of, like, how you're received on some of these shows is often about who you're up against. And the fact of the matter is that right now, Tyler is a little outmatched on the game board by some other people. And thus, he becomes a little bit more rootable to people like myself. Because I'm like, oh, he doesn't just have a magic carpet rolled out for him like he did last time. Like, he's gonna have to contend for this a little bit harder. So, you know, it's all about the people that you're playing with and the circumstances under which the game happens.
Yeah. So then in fourth place, Bailey. Bailey, who preseason was second to last.
She's really turned it around.
In the number four spot.
For me, I have to say, I love her this season. And I love the conversations with her and Janelle and Kacer. They're so fun and funny. And I just think she's just so great. I really like her. I have to say, Yeah,
she's trying to find a way to keep Janie in the house this week, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
Then in fifth is Ian, followed by Enzo, then Davon, Cody, Danny, Christmas, Memphis, Nicole, Kevin, and at the very bottom this week, David.
I believe it.
What a fall from grace from the guy that we love to stan in... Big Brother 21, who got to sit there and just, you know, read people and go to the diary room, and they spliced together some cool things that made him sound really knowledgeable. And, you know, he looked a little sad when he lost the buyback competition. And then we were like, you know, yeah, he deserves a second chance. And then I've seen so many people today and yesterday who were just like, nope, walking that back. Never. Like, I know I said that, but I totally apologize. I got that one wrong. He does not belong in the house. So, it's going to be interesting to see like how long he actually lasts. Like somewhere along the way, some HOH is going to have to use an HOH reign to get rid of David. Otherwise, he's in it for the long haul, you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great.
So then I asked who should Tyler have targeted this week for his game? What was his best move? And with 43% of the vote, Janelle is the top choice. They agree with Tyler's decision. Second place, 23% of the vote, Danny.
Yeah.
There's a portion of the audience that thinks he should have gone after Danny. We talked about this briefly. I disagree with that. Melissa, what do you think? Janelle or Danny? What was the right move?
I don't think he should be going after Janelle, but I'm also very biased. So, I mean, I wanted to see Tyler, Janelle, Kacer, Bailey, Davon, and David at that point work together. And I just feel like, I don't know, I just feel like there could have been something really great. And instead, I feel like Tyler is just like a number on the other side and of the big alliance, I guess. There isn't really a side anymore. It's just he's a number of the big alliance, and people in the big alliance are talking about trying to get him out. So I feel like he's not really in a great position, and maybe this could have been a week to change things up, and it's not.
All right. So I also asked, now that it's over, how do you feel about the safety suite twist? And final grade, 67 out of 100. It fell back down from last week. It was actually 67 is exactly what it got the first week it was introduced. So it moved up the second week, back down the third week. I think it was kind of a non-entity this week. And so people are like, it was good still, but still but one of the best rated twists.
Yeah, I will say this, though. My one fear is that we're going to get an interesting HOH on Thursday, but remember, another room is going to open on Thursday. You hear the sigh in Taryn's voice. Oh, my God. And, who knows?
I'll only be satisfied if that room opens up before the vote, or, like, it only opens up
after
the vote is revealed,
my God.
And then it's like,
yes,
she can't leave
that's
the house.
That's a fantastic... But- yes, Melissa, that's it. That's what we need. We need, because they announced that a new room would open every 3 weeks. And so, like, that's what needs to happen, is for the room to open on Thursday night before the vote.
If Janelle stays... then it's just another competition. It's going to be endurance.
Well, at least we get another week of Janelle and Kacer together.
It's going to be another week of this misery where people are complaining all week because Janelle's going home again.
I don't know. I'd prefer her to stay. I'd prefer for them to stay because then it gives them a chance. I feel like at this point, there's no chance.
And we're just prolonging the most boring portion of the season, which means we're going to speed up the more interesting part of the season.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, I asked the audience, who do you want to be evicted this week? Janelle or Kacer?
None.
50.6%.
Oh, wow.
Of the vote.
Good job, you guys.
Janelle, they would prefer to see evicted. Kacer with 49.4%.
See, I don't want to see either of them leave, but I do think it would be interesting to see Kacer play on his own. Just because we
never
haven't
done
seen
before.
That.
Yeah,
so
she's never
we've
been
seen
in the
Janelle
house.
On her own. We've never seen Kacer on his own. So it would be interesting just to see, like, how he plays it. But at the same time, like, I do feel like Janelle would be amazing to see still in the game. And I feel like, I don't know, it's really tough. I don't want to see either of them go, especially not so soon. But yeah.
All right. Finally, who do you want to win HOH next week? 50% of people say Kacer would be their pick, followed by Bailey with 15% of the vote, and then Janelle with 15% of the vote. Kacer, Bailey, and Janelle, if she stays, are the top three picks for who they want to win. Unfortunately, Bailey might put Kacer up, so.
I don't think she would.
All right.
I have faith in Bailey. I don't think she'd put Kacer on the block. I don't think that's in her interest at all, literally at all. And if she does, I'll be devastated.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'll give her a one. I'll give her a one. I'm telling you right now, call it. I'm giving her a one. If she puts Kacer on the block, no matter if she's in a better position, I don't care. She gets a one.
Oh boy, Melissa, holding the ratings hostage.
I will hold these ratings hostage until Bailey doesn't put Kacer on the block.
Okay. All right. Well, let's take a look here at the leaderboard. It might also be, it might be glitched again. I think that might be what's happening. So we're not going to take a look at the leaderboard.
Y'all
quite
quit
yet.
Getting on the site. Go away so we can look at it. We'll show you the results. Stop doing that. there's 3,500 people watching.
I think it's been fixed.
All right.
Next
time, bring it up beforehand before all these idiots try to get on.
I don't know. I did. It's that I think there's some numbers glitching, not the site itself.
Okay.
First place right now, Jeebus Crust. With $448.24. Cody was the best buy this week. So those that went in on Cody are going to reap the rewards. I took a hit. I took a hit here. 220 for me. 220th place with $428. I went in on Christmas. Thought it was the safe play. It was the safe play, but didn't do great for me. Brent took a bigger hit. With $370, has fallen to 1,007th.
How many people? How many people?
Almost 5,000, I think.
See, that's like top 20%. That's not terrible.
No, that's not terrible.
I went all in on Danny, I believe.
On Danny, okay.
Yes, I went all in on Danny. I thought she was most primed to win a Cold War with Tyler. I felt like she was in great position going into the coming week. I felt like no one was really talking about her. But a lot of people have caught on to her game. Like, she's a little transparent, more so than I really thought she was going to be.
Yes. Melissa, ahead of Brent, 540th place.
Well,
hey, that's like top 10%.
And yeah. I have to be honest with you, I forgot to do anything. It just goes to show that if I don't do anything, I perform better than when I try.
Right?
So this is bad.
$402 for Melissa. She, I guess, kept her holdings on Christmas.
Did nothing.
And Tyler. So
I was like, wait, when do we like do this? And then I was like, oh, whoops. I was supposed to have already done it. Great. Sorry, guys. Maybe I'll just keep with that strategy. Just do nothing and then until one of them leaves, and then I'll change it up.
All right. So there you go. That's what we've got. You can go and play at realitystockwatch.com if you want to join in the game, or if you want to check your own stuff here. The market should now be open, I believe, to buy and sell if the website is working. Again, you guys kind of bum rush it during the podcast, so you might need to wait a little bit for the traffic to die down. But the market will be open until 6 p.m. Eastern on Thursday.
Uh-huh.
6 o'clock, 2 hours before the episode airs. 6 o'clock. It's going to close early. This is your warning. They've been taping the evictions. Spoilers have been coming out, so we are going to get ahead of it. We did this on Big Brother Canada. Do not go to the website after 6 p.m. Eastern expecting to be able to get your buying and selling in, because you will not be able to. 6 p.m. Eastern on Thursday is when the market closes.
Yeah.
So keep a lookout for
that. Keep a lookout on that before 6 p.m. Eastern on Thursday. I know a lot of people in the chat are telling us that there's an error message on the website. Obviously, it's because the website is being overrun by everybody going to check their scores right now. Just like, give it like 10 minutes after.
Oh, podcast. Now they're saying it's live? All right. Well,
who knows anymore?
But still, we're going to keep it at 6 p.m.
I don't trust them. I don't trust them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's keep it at the same time.
I think 6 p.m. is fine.
Because here's the thing. Even if it's live this week, but then goes back to being taped, I don't want to have to keep changing the time. So it's going to be 6 until they do a bunch of live, truly live episodes in a row. Then we might shift it back. But for now, it's going to be 6 p.m. Eastern. And that's it. That's that. The feeds will be down anyway. There's no point. You don't need any extra time. So that's what it is. All right. That's what we have for you guys. Any final thoughts from you, Brent?
None. I'm hoping that this week does, and this overall series gets better, because it has been a really hard watch. It's just not really fun to watch all the people that you're rooting for be on the outside of everything. I did see someone in the chat say, what should I do with my Davon stock? Look, I think that the thing about the website that's really great is that you can look at the projections and see, like, you know, assuming that Devon's rating goes up to, you know, this or this next week, what would her price be and how much money would you make? It's not as simple as, oh, you know, Devon is relatively low right now because she got a 3 on an average, and, you know, you should hold on to her because she's bound to go up sometime. You have to look a little bit beyond that and look at the projections on the site. That's what they're there for. And I know that Christina and Alexandra and other people that have helped behind the scenes with Karen for the website have done a really good job of that. So use the projections and they will be your best friend.
Yes. All right. Melissa, any final thoughts?
Nope. You know, I'm just really happy we got to see Janelle and Kacer on our feeds again. That they are so amazing and I love watching them. And I'm sad to see one of them go. But, you know, hopefully this week will bring up, you know, bring a new HOH, not in the majority alliance, maybe, or at least someone who's willing to switch things up. And maybe we get a little shakeup this week. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Yes. All right. Well, you can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. If you're interested in filling out the survey that we use for the podcast, I drop those on Twitter every Tuesday morning after the update. And you can find it there at Armstrong Taren. I will also be live on Twitch Thursday in the afternoon, probably this time around 3 or 4 Eastern, to give some tips, advice, anything that I can to help you out with the Stockwatch, answer any questions that you have. So find me there, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. And I will, of course, be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happened today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. And tomorrow we will also have an episode recap for the veto episode. So plenty of content heading your way. You can find Brent on Twitter at @OneLuckyGay and Melissa is at @ItsMelissa with 3 A's. thank you guys so much for joining us. See you next time.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.